Hey, James, can
good,
you...
Good.
James, can you activate my Skype so I can see the typing?
Yeah, I sure can.
Do I put on my Skype, or do you activate it?
Yeah.
I put mine on?
Yeah, log on, yeah.
But didn't we have the distortion last time when I did that?
Yeah, but I don't call you, basically. I just add you to the chat.
Okay, so I have to put my Skype on, and there won't be distortion.
No. Or you have to bit mute on your Skype.
Exactly. Bit mute on the Skype. Okay, because you're calling us. This is different. You're calling me and I on, whereas the others are coming in.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, yeah. So...
And you can be on Skype, too, but just hit mute so it doesn't pick up the feedback.
Yeah.
BLS.
Yeah. Or you can just end the call.
It's the green button. Hit the green button.
What did you say, James?
Hit the green button.
Hit the green button. Actually, that's not the mute. So I'm going to start the proper introduction, the tape. So we had the song, and then we say...
It's the Gaga, that was the best part.
That's right. I'll do another intro, just in case.
Yeah, no worries.
That is individual people ringing in.
Yeah, that's there.
People at least?
We got more than that.
Okay, great. Okay, let me just do the intro. This is Tailgate Party for Cash Flow 20, recorded on March 10th, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at
12:11 p.m. Hawaii time.
Okay, greetings, Ion.
Hey, we're still here. Everybody's here for the tailgate, and we're going back to Maple Ragin if you already get your timing worked out, but you did. So it's good. I want Eddie, number one. Come on. Let's got it. Let's start.
Eddie.
Are you hearing me, Ion? And
yes, come on.
Are you feeling it? Okay, sorry, that's the inside joke. Sure. Okay, I've got a question, and it's as follows. Sometimes it feels as if I'm in two is's at once, and the feeling is so intense, I allow only one is at a time. How do I relax into perspective that will help me ease into the other dimensionary?
Wait. Pull your left ear when you feel that. Now, don't pull it off. Just tug on it. Carolyn will give a medical disclaimer. You just told Eddie to rip her ear off. No, just tug on your earlobe. Don't rip out anything. Just pull on it a little bit, and it'll help you have what you're having is the same thing. It's called vertigo. It would be non-physical vertigo. Carolyn is just riling. She is having a fit because she's like, what are you talking about? Now, just pull on your earlobe, and it'll help you. It'll help you balance into both is's.
Okay. But what if I want it to be in one more than another?
That'll do that, too.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you're opening up conference call between your is's. So I guess that'd be an is-ism, isn't it?
It sure would be.
Good. We love you very much.
Thanks, Ion. Yeah.
Now y'all do what you want to. Okay, who's next? You probably scared them all away after that.
I think so. What's going on?
Yeah, average scared wave maker.
Oh, go for it, Michael.
sorry, my mute.
I'm trying to get...
Wave maker, hold it. There's this... Barbara is doing me and getting into my headphones, James. What is she missing?
Yeah. She started to call the group conversation. I think I told her to stop that. Is she in your...
She's
She's in there now.
Yeah, she's on. You're on there now. How do I get her off my thing?
That's enough.
Oh, I don't even care. Okay, it's okay. She's there.
You human creator, this is the most fun you can have without laughing.
It's my creation, Ion. It's my creation. I'll do what I want with it.
Of course, we yield.
Okay, no, you're just talking to me, Barbara.
well, I really enjoy my work. I like my worky job, and they give me a worky check, and it feels really good, and I do that. And I couldn't hang around here all day because my wife would be under my foot, or I'd be under her foot, and it'd be a divorce, and that's not good. So we better go do a worky job because we like that. And so then you grab your breakfast and wrap it up in a breakfast burrito and eat it on your way. Are you there?
We're back.
Okay. What happened? Is Ian still there?
He sure is.
Okay, James.
Yes, pondering.
James, I got an email from Renee. She says, "Is there any way I can call you and get hooked in on?" Okay. Who?
Yes.
Okay. Angela, ask your question, or Sheila, whoever wants to ask a question, go ahead.
Wait, we were finishing up with doing the wave and me. Did we get that sufficient, or you want more?
We don't want any more. I don't even know what Ian's talking about. Do you know what he's saying, James?
Not really, but did Michael ask a question?
I think it's about
Michael
to.
Michael had a question.
Go ahead, Michael.
Joy. So the need is figure out your if you want something immediately, if it's going to screw up something that you want more, go for the one you will enjoy more.
Absolutely, and then repeat.
And then repeat.
Let it show up, and then repeat. Good. That's, we knew there was something hanging that you wanted more, and we didn't want to leave you hanging because that would make you miss breakfast and be late for work, and that sucks. And you could do both, but do that process, do it to your satisfaction, then repeat. And that's all you got to do.
Makes sense to me.
Okay, good. Now, thank you. That we don't like to leave folks hanging. Otherwise, we just gaga, and that's all fun for us, so that's good. So who's next?
Go ahead, somebody.
I have a question, Aya.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I think I want you to continue what you were saying as cash flow is ending.
Is this Sheila?
Because you were, yes, it's Sheila.
Yeah, so what
it's was about, it,
what were the last words that you remember?
About me, it sounded like I needed to relax more. I wasn't allowing enough.
No. Just be easy. Come back to angels and all the angels in your being. And you were getting the tingles of the angels brush through your body. And it was making the hair stand up on you. And the tenseness that was in your shoulders, because you keep your arms up all the time doing your work. It gets all tense, and you find a way to relieve that. Well, in the voice and the hearing, the words of the angelic language activated in you that could be in your reality. So instantaneously, just like me and me, we're going to do the wave, showed up in Sheila's experience. And it became a euphoric, blissful experience in your physical bodiness. And it was indeed the fastest path to your joy, correct?
Sheila lost the connection.
That's the part where you're supposed to say yes.
You know, do you think we should go to teleconferencing?
Yeah. This is going to play up again. We should.
I mean, yeah, Sheila just lost her connection. I see her writing that. That means you have to call her, right?
Yeah, sure. Second.
But the actual free teleconferencing wasn't very good. That was low quality.
No.
So we have to find one that's not very expensive, I guess.
Yeah, you just pay a nominal fee, nominal startup fee.
Okay, Sheila, are you ready?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay.
All right, now let's catch right back. You were having the delicious experience of hearing the voice or the language of the angels, and you were drawing that to you, okay? And that's perfect, and then you had a physical experience regarding it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what our point was that you could have seen all the angels around you, okay? But if you made that be, you can do that, no problem. But if you get on a national radio broadcast that Sheila in Paris, France can see angels, they would run you down saying, come look at my angels, come look at my angels. Is this a rat or is this an angel? And then you'd be the angel whisperer, and it would certainly not be the fastest path to your joy. So you can engage with the angels and have that experience, but you also can see them. But it doesn't have to be, we're not showing the whole wide world, we're just showing you. That's why we called you and said, tell us what you see to help Bob understand what he couldn't get, that he didn't understand what we were asking about, to ask you that you were considering from the language of the angels that applied to this particular dynamic that you were trying to achieve, some stasis regarding that Bob couldn't get the answer to. So we called you and said, respond, so Bob could feel what you know to be as is.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. The work you put in the book, you talk a little crazy on its own. That's fun. All right. So that's all that is. And there's no less than this. You don't have to relax anymore. You're doing fine. And if you want to see the angels, you can do that. No problem. But you also can experience that deliciousness without having to do anything. It doesn't require a fly, you know, like shiny with the hook. It doesn't have to be that you have to give the dimples in their chin for it to be a delicious experience and feeling. And if Bob figures that out, great. And if Bob, why do you care? He'll figure it out or not. It's not up to you to worry about Bob. So we are just engaging the dynamic of this particular anomaly that keeps showing up in the individual human creators. All day, every day, that's what your non-physical is doing, is trying to make it easier for you so that you can get your breakfast and get your butt to work your working job at the same time. That's all.
Great.
And we still gonna do the wave, Miami.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I
didn't hear that. Miami?
No, are you saying
Miami? We were speaking.
Are you are you quoting the female artist Miami? You're not talking about her.
No.
You're saying
we're talking about South Beach.
Okay, you're going to do the wave.
Yeah.
How are we going to do it?
In South Beach. He's already going to do it.
You get it, Michael?
Well, the fastest path to my joy has been to get some stuff done that I need to get done. Or, oh, don't use the word need.
Yeah, don't use that word.
Want to get done. Want to get done.
Want to get done.
That I want to.
Well, need is all right if you're trying to make need is what you do to dough, to try to make it all be even and the same. So, yeah, you can need, but don't confuse need with a desire.
So you're saying N-E-D
No problem.
You're saying N-E-E-D is okay if you're massaging.
If you're trying to make it an all homogeneous dough, if you're trying to work your dough.
Right, so kneading is working the process.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the desire.
Absolutely. Right, because you can continually knead your dough and desire it to rise, but if you keep kneading it, it will never rise. It can't.
Yeah, if you keep desiring.
Keep the air out of it.
So you knead it at
crush.
First.
You got to let it go.
So you N-E-E-D it at first. That's your desire, impulse, thought. And then you drop it.
K-N-A-N-E-E-D.
But.
Yeah, I know that, but we were talking about N-E-D. You seem to accept that temporarily.
Well, if you spell it with a K, yeah.
That's not compute. Nah, it's not the same.
I know. Sheila, tell him about why you can't see the angels again, darling.
Why I can't see angels?
Yeah.
Because people would hound me if I saw them.
And what
So it's not your job to convince Bob why he doesn't get it. Good girl. That's the fastest path to your joy. Good. Perfect work. Okay, let's roll. Who's next?
Yeah, but what's that got to do with N-E-E-D?
Nothing. We don't like need. We don't like needing. We don't like neediness. We don't think it's appropriate. We find no fruitful benefit of it. It doesn't even create contrast. It just makes you less than how you're not able to create. You are less than. And anything that spends all day, every day, trying to convince you how needy you are, we wouldn't give it 2 cents worth of attention. We'd much rather talk about the angels or any other significant point of rhyme or reason that would get you to convince your physical, non-physical, to the labyrinth of your mind, to come and do your own power.
Into
a place where you know...
Fine. You're like a tape recording, and you are a tape recording. We keep hitting the same button. The NEED, how is that different from a desire?
Very different. A desire is something you're looking forward to. A need is an acknowledgement of something you don't have.
And if you're acknowledging what you don't have, is that a feeling of what? Well, it's a feeling of less than. So why would you desire anything if you have everything already? Right.
Well, that's because you always want more. But if you could get to that very place, complacent, delicious place, you wouldn't be asking about need.
Oh yeah, but
you'd know it.
We're talking with people who haven't got there yet, or they think they need the desire to get there. Yeah. See, you mixed up both there. Need the desire, the wanting of the unloved, of the. You see, needing it to KNEAD to work on it and help it rise, what is the feeling?
It doesn't help it rise. It prevents it from rising.
Okay, so when do you start KNEADing? When does that happen?
When you're trying to make it all one loaf. When you're trying to mix it up.
Well, that's the desire.
Mix it up.
That sounds like,
no,
I need to make it. I need a NEED, one loaf. I want to have one loaf. I need that. Now, you're saying that KNEAD is to desire it. I nominate anybody to finish my sentence.
That's what makes it one low.
Finish my sentence, anybody.
Please, someone. Please, quickly, before you...
contrast.
What's that?
Is need possibly the same thing as contrast, KNEAD?
Well, it can be, doesn't have to be. There, some people enjoy baking bread. Well, if they enjoy it, that's the process that they go through to achieve freshly baked bread. Well, if they just took flour and water and yeast and a little fat or oil of some kind, and they dumped it in a pot and put it in the stove, they would not have bread. They work the dough, they activate the gluten in the flour, and they let it relax, and then they knead it, meaning they work it, meaning that's the one process of the 3-2-1 manifestation. They make it one homogeneous mixture, and then they let go of it. Let it go. Turn it loose. Put it in a greasy bowl. Put it in a warm place. Put a dish towel over it in a warm part of the draftless place in your kitchen, and leave it to F alone, and let the yeast create gases that make the bread rise. And then if you want an even smoother texture once it goes through one cycle of rising, you can knead it again, push all the air out of it, make it flat, and then put it in your loaf pan, let it rise one more time, leave it alone, and then take it, and you have wonderful, fresh, hot bread. That type of kneading is perfectly all right. But this needy, it sucks. We're not going to give it any more attention.
Well, most people do think they're needing within a sense of lack. You're trying to get them to realize they got everything, and then when they get a new desire, just do that as a hobby, as sort of the sidebar. Oh, yeah, I get a little desire, just a sidebar over here. I've already got everything. You're saying to get into the desire with a sense of completeness already.
Yes. And then if you take an action toward making it a homogeneous mixture, that's needing, and that's okay. But this running around, I don't have because I'm needy, will get you more needy. And then you'll become so needy that then they won't even let you on relief.
Yeah, is most human beings going around with the NEED aspect?
Well, that's what we keep hearing over and over and over and over and over and over.
That's right.
and over and over. Oh, wait, the Victoria song. Over and over and over and over. Then they ask really great questions regarding it. How do I get over being over and over and over and over and over? Well, maybe we could get, well, no, it's no, over and over. Okay, we got that iron now. Thank you. Now, how do we get over it? How do we get over being over and over and over and over and over? Well, we mentioned that somewhat earlier, but let's see if we can get over and over and over and over. And see, it's the getting past part. And it's not a hard thing. We make the words that you're using are fine, Bob. There's no problem. And it's very fruitful what we're doing here. The point that we're trying to make, how silly it sounds when we do it, but you guys do it all day, every day, and think it's normal.
To make it normal?
Yeah. And neediness becomes normal, and then you can't imagine not being needy.
Okay, someone give a response. Don't just rely on me saying something.
Well, we could actually engage some other callers that want to participate in that question.
That's what I mean.
Barbara, go ahead.
Okay. Recently, I listened to Cosmic Awareness, and that channel or entity, whatever, was saying that because of the earthquakes that were man-made, like in Chile that there was going to be response. The Earth would respond in kind in a different area.
It already did. Now, are you talking about Dave Worster's Cosmically Aware or another Cosmically Aware?
It would have to be another. Is that guy in Calgary or Ken, Will or somebody? Barbara.
Maybe it's Will.
Yes.
Maybe it's Will.
It is Will. Oh, Barbara, let me just give you a little history. Cosmic Awareness is important. It's part of where we came from. And there was the first medium in 1963 or so called Ralph Booby. He died in 67. Then there was Dave Worster from 67 to 74. Then there was Paul Shockley from 75 to 95. Then there was someone else, a woman, I think, but I wasn't in touch with that. And now there's a new guy named Will. We only recommend talking to Dave Worster, who is still alive. But if Ion, I don't know, but that's my personal thing. Ion seems to like Worster. And I would add this next part, is that Ion has told us that earthquakes are not molded by man yet. The weather can be through HARP, but not earthquakes. So, Ion, if you want to clarify that.
Will is trying to say with the Cosmically Aware that the Earth that the human energy causes the pressurization, which causes the earthquake, and then that the Earth will respond in kind. Now, Barbara, you're going to like this because it's much easier. What's happening is the Earth already responded in kind. The Earth already responded to the human creator's energy, and we have proof of this. They had a smaller earthquake in Haiti, and 250 or so thousand died. They had a larger earthquake, which actually they've proven that stopped time or changed time, which we're all hipped up and jazzed about because now you can't even make sense of your own creation, Greg. But what happened was they had this huge earthquake and like less than 1,000 people died, which is amazing because it was much more large. More people got killed with the tsunami than they did with the earthquake. And it was way bigger than Haiti's earthquake. So that's the response in kind. The human creators have energetic fields. Now, that's going back. Now, we're not here to subjugate Cosmic Awareness or the cosmic distraction. We're not here to do that. That's not our job. We love and appreciate everybody everywhere they are. That's okay. And if it feeds you deliciously, wonderful. We have no problem with it. You know, air it up on the weekend, honey. It's all right with us. So what you're asking about is how does the Earth respond to the energy of the human creator? And we say totally and completely. You individually can do, be, or have anything that you'd like to be, do, or have. So that means if you'd like the Earth to open up a great big pit and suck you up down in it, that most absolutely can be your desire and your manifestation. But that world could also suck up all of Los Angeles and leave you sitting on your little house, your little place on your little hill, and it's as happy as a hog in slop.
Okay.
But he did say that.
It's a new level of perception. So
we keep tuning into Ion and compare what Ion's saying to what Will is saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, have a non-physical pissing match. That's what you do, honey.
Yeah, I want to compare my non-physical to your non-physical, Barbara.
Yeah. My non-physical is bigger than your non-physical.
Well, that's all I'm being diplomatic. Ion tells me privately that Cosby Awareness people are screwed up. Okay? But he won't do that in public. I just outed Ion. You've been outed, non-physical.
But we ain't. But we aren't going to push against anything because we love and appreciate all of them. And you are so right. And J.W. White tells him very regularly that he has the right to be wrong.
Yeah, Will has the right to be wrong, Barbara.
What'd
you say?
I'm just going to say, Will was on, or Cosmic Awareness was on Rumor Mill Radio on Tuesday, and I called in and I asked about Ion, and I didn't register anything he was saying to me in response to the answer, so I have to go back and listen to that at some point.
Very good. You know that Ion had its first broadcast on Raylan's Rumor Mills on May 1st, 2009. That's where he first went. That's great that you brought up Ion. I'd like to listen to that and see what he said. I don't know if they know about us. Raylan does.
No, Raylan did, and then he made some comments too. But I have to re-listen to it because I kind of just didn't register what they were saying.
That's right. You didn't know who Ion was. Well, how did you find us today?
No. I knew who Ion was. I asked about Ion on Tuesday. This was 2 days ago when Cosmic Awareness was on the show. And then I asked about if they were familiar with Ion and what they thought, and then the response that I got from Cosmic Awareness just, for some reason, didn't register with me. That it was, I took it as negative or something against Ion, but I don't know if he's totally against Ion, but it wasn't in sync, and so for some reason it didn't resonate with me, and it didn't register.
That's good, Barbara. From my point of view, you've shown up and shown me about this. I wouldn't have known. I'm glad to find out about this. I'll check it out.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, thank you. Now, Steve has a question. Ask Ion. He had to type it because he can't hear or something. Other than orally, through JW, how does Ion communicate with human creators?
Oh, great. The non-physical, Steve, that you have is the same non-physical that is us. So we have a clear connection, and the more focused you are, which even allowed you, because Bob was hogging the speaker box, but you couldn't get through, so you were able to find a way to engage through your chat communication, or IM, and then that allowed Bob, who was running the thing, allowed him to give your engagement, so you didn't have to connect, you still got through to your non-physical. Perfect.
Well, I will find out. Steve will type back to me, and then I'll get a response. So, Michael, do you want to? Go ahead, Hetty or somebody, ask Angela.
I got a question.
Okay, who's this?
Are we ready? This is Mike Hetty for Wavemaker. Hey, yeah. Can you clarify the difference? If there's any difference between beliefs and rules, are they one and the same?
Yes, absolutely. No, don't. Just leave it like that. Let us go from there before you tangle it up. A belief is just a thought you've been thinking for a long time. That's all. That's all it is. That's all a belief is. You don't have to believe us. Look it up. That's all a belief is. It's a thought that you have habitually thought. It's a funk thought that's been rethunked long enough and it becomes a part of your belief system. Now, rules and regulations can be made a belief, okay? But we say it doesn't have to be. You can believe something without having a rule regarding it, okay? But you can make rules with it that can get you crossways of your belief system. So you're asking, is a rule and a belief the same thing? And we say, no, it's not. But you can have a belief that's also a rule, and you can have a rule regarding a belief. But if you get in the rule business, usurping your belief system, what happens is, when you come to the end of your transition, or you want to transition, and you go to the judgment, then all of a sudden you may have rules regarding your beliefs that decided that you controlled the waves in Miami and you feel less than because you had more power than they did, so you're not worthy of your delicious reward, and your rule, your dogma can run over your karma. So is that enough?
I'll continue a little bit later. Right now, yes.
Got to chew. It's bite, chew, no. Swallow, digest. Yes.
Here it is. Gravity, the concept or rule that gravity pulls you down. Could it be that it pushed you down?
No.
Instead of a pulling action, it's a pushing action, or you don't have to have either one of them.
No, the 32 feet per second, that field of force, gravity, that's changing. That's changing. We've done pretty vast work on that already, with how the gravitational field is changing. And the electromagnetic field that controls the pull of the Earth's axis, as it is in the spinning, twirling, what you humans do, spin and twirl on everything, that's changing. So what you're finding is taking less jet fuel to pierce the stratosphere. And even your science don't know what to do about it. The amount of gravitational pull on the Earth is getting less than. And we also have proof of that. JW collects things. He likes to buy things and drag them home and build on and buy things and drag them home, and he likes things. Well, he got to collecting something called long-cased clocks. Okay, he has many of them. All right, now, they're pretty fun and pretty significant, and they have these weight things. Okay, well, the clocks keep very, very close, accurate time, like within a minute or so a month, but the weights on the clocks fall fast. Like, they fall at different levels, but a typical 8-day clock has to be wound every third day. Okay? And then the clocks still keep perfect timing. Right? Which is an anomaly. So what you're saying is that the gravity or the gravitational pull, just like any other dynamic of human creation, is subject to the whims of the Creator. So what's happening is gravity is becoming less. But how it's showing up is as more. Don't you find it interesting that the human creators, you see more and more and more morbidly, what you call morbidly obese people than you did? Do you know why? Because they're feeling the less gravitational pull, so they're adding more weight so they can be grounded to the Earth.
Why not float up?
Beg your pardon?
Why not just float up?
Well, they're not comfortable with that. See, they got rules. Their belief system is they're supposed to be firmly attached to terra firma. And if they do float up, then they might flip away, and then they'd be lost and undone, and they'd cry and they'd wish for so much more. And if they just had a non-physical they could have talked to understand it, they wouldn't have to be 8 stone overweight just to be able to stay on the second floor. And they'd cry and say, if I could have just found a way to be grounded to the Earth, it could have been more complete. And then they talk themselves into transitioning, and then they cloak. They call it morbidly obese death. They fatted themselves to death. We've never heard of such.
Are you familiar with Walter Russell?
What would you like to know?
Well, his
concept of gravity with, say, pushing instead of a pulling down, pushing from the outside, containing. If you split open your skin, you explode. So it's more of a containment versus a pull. Is there some logic to that?
No, because see, it's based on, you're basing it on the false premise of a key timed expression of a logarithm frequency, and you can't do it from there. That's the same way that the quantum physics have trouble when they start giving a divination between the string theory and the every theory of everything. See, that's where they start having anomalies because they can't work. And if it doesn't with us, what you'll find is, if it doesn't work every single time without better exception, we say, why bother with it at all? Forget it. Get out of it. If it doesn't work every single time without failure exception, don't be mucking with it, because it'll just get you crossways of you. Okay? Because you might make a belief about it, and that belief might include rules and regulations. And that rule and regulations may eliminate the possibilities that you're trying to allow and relax and come into your experience. Meanwhile, you're looking for love in all the wrong places anyway, and then sooner or later you're going to find it. And then you're going to be sad. And then you go, well, that's a fine mess you've got us in now, Ollie. And then you got to clean it up. And the energy that it takes to clean it up, we say, just move on. You'd be all right.
Okay, thank you.
That's good. That's very good. Okay, who hasn't had a turn yet?
Sam. Hi, how are you? What were you
very non-physical.
What were you saying earlier about cutting fingers? Because I literally cut my finger last night cutting an apple, and that never happened.
Yeah.
What did you say earlier about it?
And we hear you, and what's your question?
What were you saying earlier in cash flow is a whole little dialogue of blood and cutting fingers.
About stabbing your hand, you can put a knife through your hand and you don't have to have any open bleeding stuff. Here's what happens. If you take your hand, you think your hand is solid. Sheila asked the question about symbols and changing your fingers to get symbols and that matriculation of your digits. The point is how did you get your finger in the way of the knife that would have it sliced open?
Yes, so what's the answer?
All right, the answer is this. You wanted to verify or validate that your body had the ability and capacity, as you split that apple half in two and could look at it and see the hara that would be explained, or the middle chakra that would be explained or shown in that apple business. It also wards off vampires and all kinds of fun things. But anyhow, long story short, the issue comes, you wanted to see, it, just like the apple you were peeling, you wanted to see if you had the same guts in you that was in that apple. And you found out that you did.
And it's actually, it's so deep and it's almost healed today. It's pretty wild.
There you go, because you also wanted to show how special you were, because the solution shows up for you about the same time the problem does.
Oh, okay.
And you're not even surprised. You're not even surprised anymore. Everybody else would be down at the Mayo Clinic trying to get a grant to figure out how they're so special, they're different than every other human creator. And you're so busy pleasing and delighting yourself, you didn't bother to notice.
Yeah. The one thing I have noticed, I'm getting the signs that Chad talks about. I see those damn signs everywhere. I wonder what I'll do with them in the future.
Well, are you asking?
No, I know the answer, but
okay.
It's just a cool thing.
Okay. Yeah, just make a note of them and keep them in order for yourself. That's all you have to do.
Did you
mention Jack, Pam? Oh, Chad. Okay, got you.
No.
Chad.
Number one.
Yeah, I got you.
Number one.
So,
cool, thank you.
Okay, Pam, listen to this. I'm going to ask Ian, do you pick up who's going to call in on the show, before the show?
Yes.
So when Pam was anticipating the show, she might have the tension, she cut her finger. You knew that was happening.
No, no, because that was her creation. And it was the fastest path to her joy, but she could just as easily thought about it, not allowed it into her experience. But she did, and then she knew it was no big deal, and then it wasn't. So that we don't interfere, but we will participate. We don't interfere. But here, this is for the record. We're not interested in your coitus. You can enjoy your deliciousness, but your bedroom activities aren't invaded by non-physical.
But Bob,
I think what you're asking, Bob, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, earlier this week, I went out to, I'm a realtor, and I went out for a $5 million listing. I could give a shit. I could give a shit what they said. Of course I got it. The only thing I cared about was the call today, and then I was having all kinds of trouble to get in.
Mm-hmm. Right, now...
So, was I, like, pushing it away, or... Go ahead, Bob.
No.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about that. So, you said it's interesting that you can perceive what Pam's going on, but you don't interfere, you don't give it any attention, but you can know it. And I guess because there's no time, you know it before it happens and after it happens, something like that.
And so can you.
Right.
That's the point of this. That's what the cosmically aware aren't telling you.
Are you still here, Barbara?
Yeah.
Okay. So so you can know what, in other words, is when we engage with you, you know, at 9 o'clock our time, Hawaii time, we start the show, and Ion's there. Ion, like, radiates out back and forward to all that who's going to engage the show and immediately gets a file on them, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, the resonance is available because, see, you all individually have your very own non-physical that is us.
That's right. So
it just becomes a.
But what you're not when Sheila it hurts. I mean, when Pam hurts her finger, you're not necessarily knowing that's going on, right? At the time.
Not necessarily, but
you could.
Well, there is no time. But the time meaning, many times. Now let's bring this back to JW. Many times JW will wake up with some big drama going on somewhere, and Chad, if you don't let JW sleep better, it's going to get rough, and I'm quite sleep deprived these days. By the way,
Chad.
You come into the place and you can engage. And he is a human, and he has a non-physical that just so happens to be real easy about most everything. And so, therefore, it becomes an open, a big box where lots of things fit. So, from that aspect, yes, sometimes things show up in his body that other people have, but he, like Pam, gives it no attention and then it goes away as fast as it came. But that's from a practical, physical aspiration, because that's what you're really actually asking.
Right, so we hear a voice talking to us, we call it Ion, but it's actually Bob's non-physical, Sheila's, Pam's, James's. We're all listening to ourselves talk back to ourselves when we hear you.
Well, it's like tonight, Bob.
What did you say, James?
Well, tonight all the questions were being answered before we could ask them. And right now I'm feeling so good I don't even know what I want to ask.
You don't right. care. You don't care.
No. And just the force field of love is amazing.
Okay, so here's where you are. The opportunities that are coming before you, consider them. Watch out. The details are in the contracts. Don't go engaging until you have full knowledge of every dynamic of the contract that you're trying to create. And as that shows up, then you'll know that it's the correct way to go. And don't sign until you feel comfortable in that level. There you go. That's easy.
Thank you.
When you're asking Ion questions, you're asking yourself and me and everybody else about ourselves, but there is you in your own universe. See, that's the punchy paradox.
Yeah.
Well, it's not necessarily so touchy. Now, Bob, you've made the example time and time again of what a big difference it is
from an open reading and a private reading.
Yeah.
It's even some questions have different answers, different dynamics come up. And once they have a personal one-on-one with non-physical, you've heard many of them that have done it have been talking about how their world is different. They look through different eyes. They see things different. Things don't show up the way they did. Everything has changed. It's all better now. It's all easy. And even if it's not easy, it's getting so much easier they didn't know that there was contrast. And that's what happens when that one-on-one in insight. But what happens is you give your non-physical a chance to engage with your physical and not, well, we don't want to say the wrong word because Carolyn's monitoring us, but you don't F up your labyrinth of your mind regarding it.
Okay, well, Steve Reimer asks, Ion, is it an echo? Is Ion an echo or a mirror?
Neither. The refraction of you.
And it's a multi-sensory refraction, so we call it tactile?
Well, if you want to add tactility to it, you can, but many find it delicious without contrast, without tactility. Pam doesn't see her finger cut as tactility. She sees it as a normal, wonderful creation that she allowed into her experience and that corrected itself as quickly as it opened up. So, for her, it would be tactile. But for someone else, yes, it could be all the rage. It could be the flappers from the 20s that... It caused the big run. So it's very relative, but it can be tactile. But there again, if it's not every single time without fail or exception, we say just leave it to F alone.
Yeah, I meant by tactile is multi all the senses, because tactility is not a sense, but the interplay of the senses. And so that when
right.
you said...
Well, and if that serves you, most people hear the word tactile and they see it as trouble.
Yeah, and they mean as touch, as contact. They don't know that when the hand is removed from the point of contact, that's part of the interplay. The non-touching is part of tactility. But taking that, I look at refraction. Refraction is the change in direction of a wave due to a change in its speed.
Right.
So you...
That has to do with the individual human creator that gives the velocity of the wave tangent.
And
the cotangent thereof.
You get that, Pam?
That's interesting.
Did you get that, Pam?
That was for the woo-woo portion of the program.
Yeah, that was good.
Pam's not there, right?
Yeah. No, I was on mute. Sorry. Yeah.
You know, it changed in the direction of a wave due to a change in its speed, and the change is caused by us interacting with the general non-physical.
Yeah.
The velocity thereof. Some people ask the question, it's a great big hot topic. Some people ask the question and they really don't give a flip, they're just trying to see what the answer is. Well, they get amazed very quickly that non-physical knows the difference instantaneously and responds mostly in kind.
And that is them, you see, that is themselves. See, you're them, but they're a refraction, they're a change in direction, they're a velocity.
Well, we like it. We like your words. We hate your implication, but we like your words.
Right.
The only way we clear it up is to say your non-physical is. And that, see, that goes back to Hetty with the difference between her multi-ises or an is-ism. That's a good way because, see, she always kept it within the confines of her own beingness. But she has no problem realizing that non-physical is vast, and she's a part of that vastness. But rather than saying that Ion is Hetty, and he says, no. And he says, my is's are so stacked up that they have to be confined within my realm of knowing or reality, or they would be some other human creator's creation. So I'm going to leave this all within me and me. And if I give my undivided attention to the distance between me and me, between any individual concept, thought, idea, process that I'd like to engage, then the closer I am to me and me, the faster it shows up velocity in the refraction of my non-physical, which I already have. Now, all of a sudden, you've got the tiger by the tail, and you're not worried about getting bitten, because all of a sudden, now, you have the ability or capacity to engage to a larger, fuller dynamic. You can do things that you didn't know you could do, that you knew you could do, but you couldn't remember you couldn't do, that nobody told you you could do, so you decided you could do it. Well, once you get to doing that, the next thing you know, you can become such a multitasker that the whole wide world stands in awe at how you wave your hand and the gross national product goes up.
So Saint Germain, who we've talked about, he's immortal, he's still here. What is his velocity compared to the velocity of the monk who speared Christ, 2,000 spans ago? He's here. He's waiting for
the second. He wasn't a monk. He was a Roman soldier.
No, I mean, he's a monk. So I see him as a monk now because he's up in the Tibetan monastery. But the point is, he's waiting for a second. He's waiting for Jesus to come back. I assume that's different than Saint Germain. So what would be the velocity of refractions comparing one's dick to the other guy's dick?
3 inches.
Okay, so the
fully erect.
What is okay? I'll go on another level. The velocity of its refraction.
Wait, hold on a second. Now, everybody, did you see how Ion Wee flipped right quickly into Bob's cheekiness and answered in cheeky? So if you asked that question another way, you'd get a very, 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 very different answer. But Bob loves this interplay. The interplay is what really gets him going. So we know this, and so we know how to navigate with Bob. And see, you have to know there's non-physical, because if you can engage with Bob, non-physical can work for everybody.
Seemingly.
That was a great answer.
Yeah, that was good.
But okay, so the velocity of the refraction in Saint Germain compared to someone who's not, come into an alignment of his physical
numbers. 2.3879 megahertz.
Okay, so did I drown that out? Did everybody get that? The hertz?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is Ion very clear to all you guys?
Yes. Everyone?
Yeah. He seems a bit far away to me. Do you guys get the far away feeling?
Compared to you, maybe, but he's fine. Generally, he's good.
Okay, so I may be hearing it less loud, right? Not as loud as you can.
Perhaps.
Do you like that laugh, Sheila?
That's okay. That's okay. They sent Bob a form the other day, and he called Kel, and he says, Kel, it says print slowly. What does that mean?
Look, my alibi is I've been talking to Ion, he says, for 1,500 hours now. If I never knew who I was before or where I was, I definitely don't have a clue now.
And he's relaxed his loudest way right there in the worst part of Maui that there is, sort of hanging by. But, he's sort of staggered his way and not knowing. If you asked him where he is, he wouldn't have a clue anyway, so it's okay. It's all good.
Yeah, I specialized in not knowing for 40 years. That was good. It worked.
Very
but
good.
The
serving them well. Serving them well.
The refraction... Thinking that we are refractions and we're velocities. Who's that? Someone speaking?
That's Barbara's.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Bob, let me just finish this here. So the velocity of St. Germain's refraction, the name that you gave the amount, is different from those that don't have his ascension. And that's...
No, it's the difference between the Roman soldier who pierced the side of the third cross.
Right.
But Bob, isn't Saint Germain multiple entities?
I don't know. Let's bring in Sheila. What is the Saint Germain that's there in Paris, Sheila?
That's a good question. I know there was a count that was supposed to be Saint Germain that lived in France. I don't know if he had more than one incarnation. And there was also an alchemist.
I can't do that.
But remember, there's
I
no...
can't
sorry?
That.
I like Ken. You could answer that better than me.
Okay,
No, we like your words.
Yeah, it's just that I object to the more than one incarnation phrase you use, Sheila.
Okay, I forgot about that. That's true.
Wait, everybody, we can prove that.
Okay.
That there's no reincarnation, and here's why. Are you ready?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Carnation milk is the best in the land because it comes in a little red can. No hay to pitch, no tips to pull, so pour yourself a big glass full. There's no reincarnation milk. There's only carnation milk.
How's that for jazz? How's that for improvisation?
I like it. I like it.
We can't beat ourselves with this ion. I mean, you know, this is our non-physical improvising back at us.
Making the big note.
Yeah, making the big note. I mean, Ion,
okay.
Now here's a good question, Ion. I think it is. There are things that you will say in 10 shows from now that you've already planted seeds of 3 shows ago.
Absolutely.
Think of that. Think of that, guys.
Absolutely.
How's that for composition?
Bob, you are 40. You were 40 sessions behind when you actually asked what the portal business was about. It took you 40 sessions to get to, if I'm asking, well, you mentioned something in reading 94 that said something about this parallel portal, parallel world. What was that all about? And then, you know, I was like, well, what do you want to know? Well, I want to know if there are portals. Yes, Bob, there are. Yeah, I mean, you got to listen to it. It's just over the top. It's hysterical. Because it was like you talked to somebody for the very, 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 very first time. Meanwhile, you've got about 700 hours to see him. And he just all wrapping up, and it was just like the light bulb went on. He's like, wow, so you mean that? You were saying that long, long, long ago. We said, yes, but now your past is your future present now. But that past that was then was not, because you wouldn't allow it into your reality. But now that past reference from your future then, which is your only now, shows up now at the perfect time when you're negating your future experience from your past tense version of your future, which is only your now.
Okay.
Never heard that said like that before.
No. You realize people were having a press conference with an alien first contact? I'm just using the metaphor, but this has never been experienced before in humanity. You gotta realize this. Maybe you do realize it, but I don't know. This is what Harry Potter's books dream about.
Pretty much. Number one. Come hither.
Where is Chad?
I have a question.
Okay.
You said, okay, a few minutes ago about reincarnation, so if you say there's no reincarnation because everything's happening all at the same time and we're on different parallel universes, or we just have more...
That's a perfect way to explain it. That's good, but if we'd have said that, you'd have accused non-physical of being cheeky and not to the point. But your words are perfect. Those work great. If there's only now, how do you have time to have more reincarnations? You are an eternal being, which means you are always, which means there's never a time that you were not. So how can you have a reincarnation of something that never ends?
Is that what you were saying, Barbara?
Yes. That's my understanding, where I'm trying to figure out the
right.
And so then, if we want to focus, it's just a matter of where our focus is, right? If we have to focus attention on where we are right now as opposed to us being in a different parallel universe, we could actually connect with our other selves in those other parallel universes if we wanted to.
Yes. That's exactly correct. And then sometimes you have questions and you want to try something out. Let's say you want to go on the rouge and you're afraid. If you're afraid, don't do it. But there's not one single thing in the world wrong with going to a parallel world and trying to lose you out and enjoying it and then coming back here with no fear of degradation and just lose yourself into the luge.
Who's laughing there?
That's me.
Okay.
I have another question.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I always talk about suicide's the only way to go, basically. I mean, whatever we do, it's some form of suicide that we're done here.
There is no death. There is only suicide. They can shoot you. They can give you chemotherapy. They can drop you off large buildings at a single bound. They can poison you. They can give you arsenic to brush your teeth with. And if you don't choose to transition, you will not.
Okay. Period. But, okay, I want to wrap my head around that because I lost my fiance and my brother in a plane crash. And they had so much to live for, and I can't.
Oh.
What? Well?
Well, they're still living.
They're still living.
In other dimensions or what?
Yeah.
Are you saying that you think your brother transitioned?
Yes, and my fiance.
He did not.
What?
He most absolutely did not.
Well, where is he? I mean, I have dreams. I've had so many dreams where he's been alive, and I get mad at, like, where is he? Okay.
Well, he's in a parallel world, darling, and that's why you keep having those dreams. He's not dead. He found himself in a bit of contrast, and it was no fun doing it here anymore. So he found a way to do it somewhere else and decided to say, he said, see ya.
When
you start, wait, just simmer down. We got to get you there. This is that place where a private reading would be very, very significant because then the details would be much more alluring. We'll deal with it as we go. Now, the point is that when you have dreams of your brother, he always is happy. He always is talking to you. You're always trying to figure out how he's coming in your dreams. It's frustrating for you. And what does he say every single time he's in your dreams?
Well, I get mad at him because I'm like, why did you leave or where did you go? Why did you tell me you were still alive and that kind of thing?
And what does he say?
I can't remember. I don't remember getting an answer.
Okay. You know I love you. You know
okay.
I love you. Not loved. You know I love you. Not you know I loved. Past tense you. Every conversation that you've had in the past, but the ones you remember specifically, it's never in a past tense.
Right.
And now we've told you that, so as you're having them now, they'll be even more frequently because now you've activated it, so it's on its way. You're non-physical working it out. Now pay attention and focus your attention because some of those are dreams and some of those are astral projections because you went looking for him because you were angry with the way the whole thing went.
Mm-hmm.
How it went down. So, the point is now in your astral projection and in your dream world, you can now have engaging conversation with the knowledge that he didn't leave you. That's what you were mad about, is that he left you.
Well, they both left. So Burns, my fiancé, also went with my brother?
Not to the same world. They went to different worlds because they had rules. Your fiancé had rules and regulations regarding it. It would be cheating to be able to go with your brother. That wouldn't work. So there was rules, and that's why we say don't spend your time making these damned rules because they just get you crossways with you. You can go ruleless. That works better. But he is in a different world. But he did not. They neither transitioned here.
Okay, well, I need to get a reading from you. I will set that up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Barbara.
That's right. And it just makes it more personal. That's all.
Yeah. No, I want to do that. Thank you.
Hey, Barbara, your fiance and brother, in your knowledge, they transitioned in a plane. They were in a plane crash.
Yes. Yes, they were in a plane crash over Drake's Bay.
All right.
They were in a small plane, 30 tons.
Right.
They did a hammerhead.
Now, do you agree that plane crash happened?
Sure.
And that was their way of setting up to
to go to a parallel world and not transition?
There's a question there somewhere. We just don't know what it is about.
Okay, their corpses, Barbara, you buried their corpses, or were they missing?
No, we never found a body.
Is that
looking for a reason? Where we'll never die. There the sainted millions ever shall abide. There we'll meet our loved ones. That's how it works. That's why we think Bethel Goodman is so cool.
Right, so did they set up the plane crash?
Did the human creator have any participation in their creation? The answer is yes, they did. Unequivocally, yes, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to tell you is how much power you got. But it's so much fun because now you and a human creator can take your power and you can go visit. Then you never have to wonder anymore.
Can they come visit back here?
Sorry?
Can they come back here?
Yeah, they can.
Okay, well,
I will start a physical reading. I need to get more
It does open it up a little bit. And we didn't mean to be so crass, but we couldn't help it. I mean, you know, it just didn't go. And you pull the stick, it's non-physical, and it'll answer. So, sorry.
Barbara, you just go to howionic.com and send an email through there, ion@howionic.com, and we'll get it. But,
all right, I'll talk.
Yeah, so who wants to talk next?
Ion is number one. Yeah, there we go.
Ion, what do you want? What's your question, Ion?
Clean this mess up.
What did you say, Ion?
Okay, here's the
No, what did Ion say when you said, what's your question, Ion? What was your question, Ion?
Clean this mess up.
Oh, is that what he said, Chad? He said, clean this mess up?
Yeah.
I want to start over again. Chad said to you, do you have a question, Ion? What was your answer to that?
Yeah. Clean this mess up, number one.
That's not a question. That's a statement.
Well, we don't do questions.
You don't ask questions.
Ask your question, number one, to sort of make... He's been piecing this all together, number one has, everybody. It's because he loves and appreciates himself, number one, and us, number two. And that delicious interaction has opened up an incredible field or peripheral vision of his gaze. So you've been listening to all this, and you've had some anomalies, and you work with those, and that's all fun. What we're saying is now... Ask the question, Chad, that will clean up all this hanging Chads.
Well, what comes after, I see the fruit going back on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden when I'm there with my...
Enlightenment. Enlightenment, that's what happens. Because then when you slice the apple in two and rip your finger off, you'll find you don't bleed. That's what happens. See, he does it every single time. You're so wonderful. This is perfect. Now, if we had started off with this, you would have had us put in the non-physical sane asylum. But no, if number one comes up with it, it ties the whole thing back together. And he got it right back to the crux of the point. You're trying to remember that you already have taken part of the fruit. And somehow in your beingness, you will not allow that to be in your reality. Oh, you'll ponder it. Oh, you'll consider it. Oh, you'll dabble with it. Oh, you'll play with it like a bug till you get tired of it. Then you go on to something else. But Chad rings it right back in. What is the whole deal about? What is it going to feel like when we put the fruit back on the tree of the knowledge of knowledge? Not good and evil, because there's no separation. There actually is no evil. There's only to live. But when you put the fruit back on the tree, then you'll know that there'll be no degradation, there'll be no doubt, there'll be no separation between you and you. So that is the question of the day. Thanks, number one.
No problem.
Thanks for the fish.
Thanks for the fish, Jed. So is that it?
That was good. We y'all got to grease up now. We're ready to play. So,
yeah.
Let's see how you go. We're, you got some.
Hi, Ann.
Yes.
You never talked about Saint Germain in Paris,
yeah,
because his name is everywhere here on boulevards and
yeah,
churches,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Saint Germain the Pre. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
So what was his significance here? What was his life here?
What is?
No, what is? That's a better question. Thank you.
Well, he's just living an ascended process. He decided that he's keeping so busy working for the kingdom that he doesn't have time to die. He spends all of his time realizing he's his savior all of his time, praising himself. If he doesn't praise him, the rock's going to cry out glory and honor. Glory and honor, I ain't got time to die. That's it. I mean, you want more? Ask it. You gotta ask. See, that's the thing.
Is he in bodily form?
Much as you are.
Cool.
Yeah. He's in a strapping chap, dude.
He's a strapping chap.
So he has a young appearance?
45-ish.
Wow.
Isn't he in France, actually, Ion?
Yeah. If we say Rue de Quatrain, then everybody's going to go bulldozing his house, so we better leave that alone. Lord have mercy, y'all tear me up looking for the answers. You get the answers, but you forgot what the question was. Then you can't calculate what it was. So that non-physical must just be crazy. They can't get it. You can't find it. It's not there. The lucky box couldn't find his home address, so it's not.
That's really a rude like Galusher. Buzzes.
Mm-hmm.
Glosher. So what is Sir, king did the...
No. Is it Sheena? Sheena ain't through. Sorry. You just wait your turn.
Go ahead, Jill.
I know, I feel like I'm not true, but I don't know what question to ask.
Okay,
He's just going to blow. Everybody, start looking for the emergency exit. Bob's going to blow. Bob's going to blow. Easy. Play with this just a little bit, honey. What is your tingling towards your asking? We can get you there.
What is my... Sorry, can you say that again?
You kind of have a question, but you don't know what it is, but it's really a big thing, but it's not, and you don't know how to ask it. Just play with it a little bit. We'll get you there, honey.
Okay.
What do you
mean?
You
play now?
Right now.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
But I want to know, what is he doing? Is he interacting with other people? Is he actively...
Yeah.
What is his foundation? What is his foundation?
Nisara.
Nisara is the big thing. There's a lot on the web. That's what Chris Story is always talking about, these settlements. Nisara... Well, we've heard about it. Okay, so
Louisiana Purchase.
You got it.
Louisiana.
He's running his foundation. Go ahead.
Is he interacting with groups in Paris? Like local groups?
Mm-hmm.
Which local groups?
Saint-Martin.
Yeah, that's an area. Is that also an organization?
The family.
Well, yes. And how did it get its name?
From a family?
The Chateau de la Saint-Martin.
We're like little children.
The pop, and Bob's just like the buzz because he's just trying to get it out because he knows how to poke at it, so we just project down vomit on him. He doesn't like that, but he wants wants it, but he doesn't like it. But we got to be softer and easier with this, and we can't leave the witness. We've got to just let you flow with it. But we'll give you that opportunity for a little bit of malaise till you get to your place of asking. So, yes, now,
Hey, Sheila.
Is it possible to meet him?
Sure.
Is it possible to, yeah? How would I go about that?
How would you go about any creation? Give it some attention and it'll show up.
Okay, Bob, are you frothing at the mouth?
Maybe he'll buy Shades of Grey.
Yeah, remember that George guy in your reading?
If you get it in the right house.
Remember,
sorry, get it in the right house.
Remember that?
Yeah, remember
that George guy? That maybe that's him or a connection to him. But the I would just say, notice the process here. Ion says the journey is it not? Journey is where it's at, not the destination. But he's always telling the process of what you're doing as you're asking a question. Like just a minute ago, he was doing the process of what you were doing, right? And that's it can be distracting. But it is Ion is showing us that it is about process. So Ion almost doesn't always answer questions. It describes the process of what your question is about. That's just something I noticed. But my question
and it,
is... Go ahead.
No, it's your time. We've beat you back. You're going to blow if we don't let you go.
This won't get... Look, I'm telling you people, this won't get very far, but we'll try. Try it many times. What king...
What night king, for them, Bob.
What?
It might for them, Bob.
It might what? I can't remember what the verb was.
See? There you go. This won't go very far. I'm going to try. It's not going to be fruitful for me. And GD and I'm not going to enjoy this, but I feel I'm going to bust. If I don't ask this question that I'm not going to get my answer to, well, but Bob, guess what? Not everyone participating in your tailgate extravaganza feels that way, so they may just have a little epiphany of their very own without you. Imagine that. So now you ask your unanswerable question, Bob.
Right. What king did the young Saint Germain experience, you know, it supposedly when he was young? I mean, let's say he started, or we don't even know if he started, but there's no beginning. But let's say he had a life, he is having a life. What king or historical figure did his life...
Edward the Second.
What?
Edward the Second.
That's about 1300. Anybody want to look that up? Edward the Second. I think is that before Henry the Second?
Damn it, there he goes. Danny, I just going to let the looky box prove it. If the looky box knows, why you got to ask non-physical?
1284.
Edward the Second.
1284. Great. Okay, we got a beginning point, Sheila. In our terms, that's 750 years ago, or 725 years ago.
I brought it.
This will work. I always get to the goal, so watch how this happens. So that's 725 years ago, but that's not actually where it was. It is Edward the Second is still here. Right?
That's correct.
We never left. Like, I can look at my window. Yep, they built another pyramid. I can allow myself to see it.
And you can go back to the place where it was not and see that it is the same way. They combed all the sands of Egypt, and yet they're still finding tombs, and there's not an inch of it they hadn't dug up already.
That's right.
They found more pharaohs than there was time allowed to be pharaohs and queens thereof.
So Saint Germain, to become, quote, immortal, he had to give up the sensation that he had been born in Edward II's reign. He allowed himself to experience all.
Correct. Well, he realized, just like you, Bob, that you always have been and you always will be. And if you could actually wrap your little self around that, then Chad's question becomes the best one of the night if we're in a pissing contest. How will we feel when we attach the fruit of the knowledge back to the tree in the Garden of Eden? How will we feel? That's the point. That is the point. Here he comes to save the day. Here to go, number one.
So Saint Germain.
remain. He has
bad Bob.
Yeah, what is it on JJ? Bad Robot Productions? Bad Robot.
Bad Robot.
Robot, right? Robot. Right. Bad Robot. JJ Abrams' logo. So does Saint Germain and his Nasara Foundation have other immortal people working with
him? Yes.
Is he like he's like the club of immortals? I mean, when Sheila...
The immortal hair club for men.
Yeah, what?
The immortal hair club for men.
So when Sheila adapts to accepting her immortality, then she will meet him.
No, doesn't have to wait that long. She's pretty... No, Bob, she's pretty ascendant. She doesn't have to take 40 years to do it. She can do it.
And your people all realize, I am...
You have rules and regulations that control all these dynamics, so it's okay.
That's right. You people realize, I brought you Ion, but I'm like Moses. I brought you to the promised apple and the tree of knowledge, but I myself won't get there.
You can't cross the water.
He's sitting on the River Jordan looking at the land of milk and honey. Canaan land is just in sight. And then he's looking, he's like, nah, we ain't going to have no land of milk and honey. There's giants over there. This Canaanites are killing us in our bed. We can't get across there. The water's sort of troubled and it's swift. And y'all going to drown trying to get to that promised land. I know it's the promise. I drugged you all this far. But I ain't a going, just so you know. I'm going to hang right here, right now. But have fun, but just be careful, because that's when we travel. And then you got to deal. Don't send no scouts back telling me all about it. I'm going to send my mental. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said last week, we're all going to go up the top of the Grand Wilaya and jump up. And you'll notice, like my old friend Flash, I won't jump, and you guys will all jump in the void, and you actually will go to other places, and I'll still be standing here.
Right. What's it called? Camping in Canaan's land.
Yes. Camping?
Camping in Canaan's land. Yes.
Right. So that's the joke for me. Now, so I'm practicing gathering all worlds to me rather than going to other worlds.
You slacker. Yeah, but you rarely can find him at home, though, y'all. Don't believe that business.
Yeah.
You rarely find him there, but
he's a slack.
That's Bob's story, and he's going to stick to it.
I love that idea that Rumpelstiltskin is a Lee Harvey Oswald cover-up for a Scarab, whatever this guy's name was. Wasn't that great?
Yes.
Who killed Bambi?
And and Tague is who caught the stray bullet, the extra stray bullet from the JFK assassination. That's always fun.
Rumpelstiltskin took the stray bullet from the business.
No, Tague. His name's Tague.
What?
He's a real man.
Who?
The man's name is Tague.
What's he saying, James?
Tague. I don't know.
Tague.
And who went
through Coffee Strait Bullet and on in the Kennedy assassination in Dallas?
About who are you saying is Tague or Cake in the Rumpelstiltskin story? You're saying Rumpelstiltskin is Tague or Cake or whatever you're saying.
No, we're not. Right? You were talking about Rumpelstiltskin. We were talking about the JFK assassination, Bob. You wanted to know.
And you're saying that Tague took the stray bullet?
The third bullet.
Did he die? Transition?
Mm-mm. He's still alive right now.
Why do you bring that up in relation to Rumpelstiltskin?
Because you were asking. It has nothing to do with Rumpelstiltskin, Bob. You're talking about, I like how the anomalies are rolling along. We're finding out all these things. And that was another thing you were just dying to find out. So we thought, well, if he's going to bring in the things that he found out, we might as well turn the rest of the things that he asked about that he found out. Because from his future place of knowing, his past that he doesn't remember or have any recall regarding either way, then he doesn't remember because he never really remembered it the first time. So that becomes very easy in a way that you can slide that right in and he can get it and then say, now what does that have to do with me? Well, I forgot. I don't know. I can't get there. It doesn't matter. We can't get a question answered. I hadn't answered one all day. His grandma's into this. Can't get nothing done. Don't know where we are. Don't know why it matters.
I'm getting to the
problem. Can't figure it out. Can't know anything. But any one of you all in the show, send an email, everything you want to know about. He can quote McLuhan from stem to stern. He can tell you the orgasms of James Joyce, the illumination of all the Illuminati and every king that ever served and what they thought and how they screwed this and that and how the Knights Templars financed it and what they thought about it. How it all began and how all the numerology set his chart into place in motion and how the world turns at his gaze. He doesn't know how it turns. He doesn't know why it turns, but he knows it turns. That's good enough. And if he has to remember something, he can't remember because he didn't know because he didn't.
Okay, I rest my case. Someone else go in. Someone else dive in.
All right, I have a question, actually.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, it's Happy. I have a me and me question.
Yeah.
And the question is, are there any messages for me to me to help me embrace coming into my knowing?
Yes. That's a great question. Okay, here you go. As you stand erect, straight up, you face a direction, and when you start in that direction, you favor one step more than the other at first.
Yeah.
And this is the message. You favor one. Like you typically start with your left foot. And you can practice that a little bit and see how many times you do. And don't think about it, because then you may vacillate back and forth. But your natural instinct is to use that first foot forward, as you would say, your best foot forward.
Right.
Now, if you want to play with that just a little bit, like when you're in your slumber, cross your feet. Cross your feet. And then when you start on another direction, consciously choose the other foot and see it as your new best foot forward. And that will allow you innumerable anomalies to find the distance between yourself and yourself.
This is related all to... Thank you. This is related all... Does this relate at all to what you were mentioning earlier about touching my left earlobe, about balance?
Mm-hmm. We already did, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, but now with Hetty, we don't mind answering the question before she asks, so it's okay.
I love it when you do that. That's what I want.
I know. Because then it validates her own non-physical, which she's already thoroughly embraced, which is delicious. And it's great fun. And now, many of you participating have this resonance. You think, some of this has got to be bullshit. It just has to be bullshit. And then it starts showing up in your physicalness, and you're like, well, you know, if this is bullshit, it's pretty fresh. But, hey, around the bottom, you know, it might serve us well. And that embracing allows your very own non-physical, just like number one, just like Pam and Sheila and James, gosh, there's getting to be quite a list of them anymore. As you're finding your way, that is your way. As you are finding your way, that is your way.
As your delusions. As you're finding your way, as your illusions.
Yes, thanks, boss. These things that you're finding your way, please know it'll be a damned lie because it'll be an illusion. It won't be real. So, yeah, there you go. That's good, Bobby. That's good save there for arguing for your limitations, too. That's great.
You're definitely not coming up.
We have a question.
He's doing fine. No, no. Yeah, that's right. That's a good say, Bob.
We have a question from Cool Crips. How about dating? He's either asking me to date Saint Germain or asking how one goes about dating Saint Germain.
Okay. Well, what do you want? Are you interested in him?
Yes.
Yeah, I am.
Well.
Yeah,
Arthur,
yes, I am.
Okay, that's fine, honey. All you do is just give it your undivided attention and then relax and allow and watch it unfold before your very eyes. That's how everything else in your world is manifested and created. Why is he so different than anyone else?
It's interesting you say...
You may have to fall in love with him before he tells you who he is.
You're saying... Give it your unfocused attention, or your focused attention, then relax and allow. How long do you give the focused attention before you let it go?
2.3 seconds.
That's long enough. That's plenty enough. I mean, as far as time goes, that's timing. Yeah, any more than that, you're pissing in the wind.
Okay, well, I think we might have to wind it up because Janet's got a session. I don't even know matters, but we have a session in a few hours.
As long as we still get to play, then JW doesn't care. Okay, that's good. Okay, wonderful. That's fine. We love to play. Play. It's always fun. Thank you all so much. You don't know how much appreciation we have for the engagement of the deliciousness that comes into your power. You see, it becomes the universe, your universes are being enlarged. And you're allowing these dynamics to allow your own power to come into your being and knowingness. And don't make a big fool about it. If you get it, run with it. If you don't, it's okay. Bob didn't get it either, so you're okay. It's okay. He does. He will. But it's the play, the engagement, the interaction that makes it more delicious and more delicious and more delicious. And Carolyn will soon have the recipe up on the website. For the sweetest chocolate in the world.
Thank you. We are eternally
and sealed. We are very, very, very happy and eternally non-physical.
That's JW exploding back in.
Yes. Hallelujah. Are we there yet?
Nearly.
Oh, cool. Cool. All right. Y'all, something's happened. We must have slipped into another world. It's dark again here. Hey, what are y'all doing?
Well, if you can create...
And it was light, and now all of a sudden it's dark.
Well, if you can create snow in your area, we create dark in your place.
Oh, maybe. That'll work. It's all right. It's nice. It's quite stormy.
Wait, what?
Okay, pictures. There's. I don't know if I got a ton of pictures.
It's okay.
Let's see. Hattie.
Yes.
There is a. A picture with you with a different hairstyle.
What does it look like?
Well, you've got it kind of up. It's real pretty. It's up.
Is it long or short?
Well, it's kind of a little longer than it is now.
And what am I doing?
Showing off your pretty do.
Okay. Is that for location?
The back, which is not what... But it's not the way you normally would wear your hair, is it?
No.
Well, that's right. So it's a little longer and it's up. It's odd. But that's just the picture.
Hey.
Have you ever had that kind of hairstyle, Hitty?
I normally have really long hair, and it's not now. So, but when it's longer, I play with it, but I haven't for a while now.
Right, so that could be an image of you in the past.
Pam. Well, I don't know if it's a photo. Pam.
Yeah.
Picture of a key code.
Key code.
And
a what?
Converted it. took a picture of a key code to get it, gain entry to a gate.
Okay. Maybe St. Germain's gate.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, when you can't find that code, it's a picture and you've got a card in your hand. And the code, you can't read it because it got wet. And you don't want to call. It's 97551.
Okay.
That's the code.
Cool.
And it hasn't happened yet, apparently. But when it does, you'll look really smart because you'll have the code behind. So they all changed it.
Thank you.
But it's a picture of you. You know how you have the little box thing and it drops out and it has the thing with the key and the code?
Yeah.
Well, then you got to have the code to open the gate.
Exactly. Well, sounds like a realtor thing.
Yeah, and it's wet. And you can't see the numbers.
Okay.
So that's the code on that card that you can't read.
Okay, cool.
All right. Gosh, number one, a picture of gelato. Boy, I don't even guess, is that ice cream or something? Gelato.
Yeah, I just saw them making ice cream on television before this.
Oh, okay. Well, gelato, but not the icy stuff. This is gelato, the real cream stuff. This is strange. Carolyn is stirring chocolate. That's interesting.
That makes a lot of sense.
Any comment, Carolyn? Any comment, Carolyn?
Well, just about every second night I make a raw cacao, coconut milk, and what's the third ingredient? Oh, yeah, frozen banana chocolate dish, and it sends JW up a wall because when he wakes up from Ion, he's usually invaded the chocolate drawer, and there are papers all over the house, chocolate wrappers all over the house. So, yeah, we have a chocolate thing.
And JW, so Ion said, Joan, that you'd be making a special chocolate recipe.
Uh-huh.
But that's surprising you because you don't work on that kind of stuff.
I just make the best.
Yeah, you make the best, so you already got the best recipe.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, so I guess that's going to go public.
Well, it's a picture of stirring it. Okay, let's see. Oh, me.
What is... Oh, that's Miami. That's Michael. Is he still here?
Oh, yeah. The wave. Picture of a wave.
A big wave?
Pretty big. No, pretty damn big. Pretty big.
Do you see it hitting South Beach?
The wave.
Is it hitting South Beach?
I don't like hitting. What do you mean hitting? I just see a picture of a wave.
Yeah.
It's a big wave.
Will the birds run? The birds run when they hear it or see it?
Oh, there ain't no birds in South Beach, Bob.
Well, what animals do we look at? What animals will tell us it's not healthy?
Bob, you're adding the context that this is bad. The big wave in South Beach, there's not a bump on the whole thing. It would be completely go all the way over the whole thing before it ever had anything to bump into. And the only thing that would stop it is Galveston, Texas, for Pete's sake.
Okay, Mike, enjoy it.
The wave. We didn't say any destruction. It's just a picture of a wave. That's all. Nothing. Don't listen to Bob. He's just all over the place.
You don't see my longboard on it with me on top of it?
No, I just see the waves. I mean, it's a great board. You should wax it, but it's a great board.
Is that right, Mike? You should wax it more?
Wax it so you don't slip.
So you are waxing it?
All the time.
Okay.
Good. Do a little more. Okay. Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah, hang in. strange. I'm trying to get it firmed up here. This is odd. Well, Bob says when this happens, just do it, and then it's not a problem. But for me, being all human, it's like these people don't think I'm crazy. They have this fence. There's a fence. It has a stone and wrought iron work. And it's like a divided area, like of a flat thing, but it's like a squared off area. And then there is an altimeter in the middle of this little area. A little gauge of an altimeter. And the only reason I know it's an altimeter is because it says altimeter.
Well, my fiance has, you know, planes, so they would have the gauges. Is that what you mean, like on a plane?
Yeah,
to determine the height. And then he had a fence. It was a Julie Morgan fence. It was a stone and wrought iron.
Yeah, and it had an out, and there's a fence, and it's an area. They're beautiful, but in the mid, in that fence, I can't see a mansion or anything like that. But I can see an altimeter. Circular gauge of an altimeter. That's all. That's just a snapshot. Yeah. You see where I'd have great issue with that type of a picture? Because it's like, these people don't think I'm crazy.
No, but that's just validating from what Ian was talking about.
We love it when it makes sense for the individual. I mean, it doesn't have to, and many times it doesn't, but it always is almost validating as a human creator. It's like, okay, good. If you don't want to send somebody up a tree over something, and it's like, well, I don't know, I'm just taking a picture. Yes, indeed. This isn't for an individual, but there's this like a road, and the sign says St. Martin. Like an exit off of the expressway, St. Martin.
That's probably for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's just an
exit. Does it look like it's in France?
Well, I don't know. It's not very attractive in, well, but most of France isn't either, so it's okay. But it's like a roadway, an auto piece to, well, I can't wait. Now, wait, auto pizza. Yeah, that would be orange. Okay, so maybe it is. Okay. But it's St. Martin.
Okay.
The exit, sorry. Okay, a pretty strange epern, multi-lever stacked epern, that you put little flowers in a table decoration for the middle of a table or a buffet.
That would be syntax.
An epern would be a syntax, okay.
Wait, are you saying an urn, U-R-N?
No, epern.
Epern? What's that?
EP. Well, I just told you, Bob, it's the centerpiece that you put on a table, put little flowers, it's got little vases, you put flowers in.
Well, okay, a vase, a vase, that's what I meant by urn. It's a vase, a container.
A vase is not an epern. A epern has many, many, many vases attached to it. Yeah, it's a picture of an epern, a pretty big one.
Can we call it a container?
No, it's an epern.
Anybody know what? Do you know what he's talking about, James?
Michael does. E-P-E-R-G-N-E, epern.
It's something you put flowers in.
Yeah, a little tiny compartment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that could be syntax. I'm just joking.
Okay, good.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. See, I'm the sensitive one, Bob. Don't poke at me much. I'm low fat.
Yeah.
He has very fun with Ion, apparently. I don't know. I don't know. Did everybody get a picture of my missus?
The James, what about James, the host in Australia with all this Skyping going on?
We did that already with the contract, the picture of the contract.
What picture was that?
The picture of the contract.
Contract. Or contrast?
You see him sitting.
Contract.
No, contract. He's sitting looking at pieces of paper. But we already told him that.
That was said to you, James, in the last 20
I don't remember JW, but Ion told me about it, so...
Oh, okay, okay. So.
Oh, and then we missed you, and that's a picture of contract papers.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at them. Okay.
Yeah.
So far, so good. That's about all I know. If I get some more, I don't know how I get them off here. I guess I'll just let somebody know. That's what I don't know. But so far, so good.
That's good.
It's still great fun, folks.
Yep.
It sure is. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, JW.
Okay. Have a great evening.
Right. Everybody express their appreciation for energy given.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, JW.
Yeah.
Thanks, JW.
Thanks, JW.
Thank you.
That stuff is very delicious. Very good. Okay, Bob, we'll see you in a little bit.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Now, are you guys going to keep typing?
You can, yeah, go for it. I'll leave it open.
All right.
Hey, Bob.
Who's that?
It's Michael.
Yeah, Michael, yes.
Wavemaker.
Yes.
The continuation of Barbara and her, they're listening to Cosmic Awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Raylene stressed that she could not relate to Ion. Relates much better to the other Cosmic Awareness.
Yeah, the reason that Ion got on her show is James and I were on her show April 24th, and during the show, somehow Cosmic Awareness or Evergreens came up, and she knew of them. And I was amazed that someone knew of Cosmic Awareness and the Evergreens. I don't know if she engaged much with the Evergreens. So then I said, well, we have a new thing happening, Ion. And she said, oh, great. Well, can we talk to them? So we said, yes. But the whole notion of Ion was not intended to be on the show, but it came up on the show through Cosmic Awareness and Evergreens. So to me, it's interesting that Cosmic Awareness was on there. And I don't know what she thought of the whole show. She said her dogs, before Ion was on 2 days before, were really excited and all that. You can hear, it's on our archive, you can hear the whole 3 hours. But the thing is that she never invited us back, so who knows?
She said she couldn't relate.
Something.
When Barbara referred to Ion, she said she could not relate to the
right.
Ion.
And you know what? I just remember, Ion occasionally, that's May, we're talking almost a year ago, every now and then, Ion will be doing a topic and he'll go, and that would really confuse Raylan. he brings her up occasionally.
It's very hard to grasp the everyone commits suicide, I think, for her.
That's right. Now, she's a well-meaning person, and a lot of the assumptions we call it liberalism or whatever assumptions, our culture, Ion is undermining. The whole idea of serving other people. I can see Ion doesn't want us to be assholes, but he wants us to clear up the concepts of what we think serving is accomplishing, like even if I'm healing somebody. Once we get it all clear, then we can figure out accurate serving, so to speak. So I like the way Ion shakes every assumption we have. Oh, the beginning one, the first one he started laying out, was every death's a suicide. Whoa! I mean, people say, that little girl there that got hit by a bullet by the gangbangers, that's suicide, yep. See, and it's probably going to be the one we're always going to be meditating on until we become, quote, ascended.
He presented that way because of your humor, Bob?
I don't know. It is an ongoing question. No, let me say, it's an ongoing question how much Ion is me. or like me, or I'm the activist, so it's got my personality. I don't know. We probably could say that's what it is. How are we going to find out? We're going to have to sort of have someone else come up with an ion, and it's totally different. You know, we didn't know about it, and so we'll never answer that question.
Hey, Barbara.
Yeah.
What do you think of the voice of cosmic awareness? I thought it was so robotic.
It's very robotic. I couldn't relate. And I don't even, like I said, it didn't register what he was saying because I just kind of went out. I couldn't digest it or assimilate it or, I don't know.
Do you listen to the whole show?
The rest of it. I don't think I caught the beginning of the show, and then I jumped in, and then I listened to the rest of it, I think.
I was the one that was talking about the voice, the question. You know, a lot of those questions asked later were mine that she asked. And about why is her voice so robotic or it didn't show.
I didn't hear the answer to that. What was the answer?
They kind of needed to do it that way to enunciate the words so you would understand. So, I mean, he came, I mean, Cosmic Awareness came up with some good ones, but, you know, the concept of reincarnation is definitely different.
Definitely what?
Yeah.
Different.
Oh, there.
I mean, it's reincarnation.
Are you saying that Cosmic Awareness has a different idea of reincarnation?
Well, yeah, you do reincarnate.
Well, Cosmic Awareness is, correct?
Right, and you do have lessons and so forth.
Right, now listen to this. This is where the question of whether Ion is a joker like me and how much is my personality or Carolyn's or whatever, because Carolyn's got a funny sense of humor like me, is that 25 years ago, see, I began with Cosmic Awareness 40 years ago. Then I was doing the Evergreens. And I used to have this radio show in Toronto and joke about the difference between Evergreens and Cosmic Awareness, because Evergreens had a lot of putting down statements a bit about the Cosmic Awareness movement. Okay, so I used to joke on my radio show, it's a big battle between the Evergreens and Cosmic Awareness about which is the truer source, so to speak, all right? So it really strikes me as the amazingly synchronistic, which is always going on in my life, that we do Rayland, and then Cosmic Awareness never does public stuff, you know? I don't remember Paul Shockley being on the radio. So it's amazing that he shows up on Rayland, and then it's brought up on our show, and Barbara's here and all that. It's just carrying out this dialectic I had going between Evergreens and Cosmic Awareness. Now they got Ion. It's a three-way. It's a three-way battle. This is very funny to me. And it's not...
Well,
you can say, look at what Ion said during the show. We're not pushing against this. You can do what you want. But you guys are idiots. You know? We love you, but you're an idiot. You're quote, wrong. But then Ion's going to qualify the wrong. So it's just amazing that Will guy showed up and is going public. And if he does a robotic voice, that to me confirms that Cosmic Awareness got worse and worse after Dave Worster. Now, if you go to Dobbstown.com and listen to the 24-hour interview with Dave Worster, you have an incredible history of the United States from 1950. James, you've heard it, right?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's
fantastic.
You know, Dave Worster, no robotic voice there. He talks about conscious mediumship. He's very eloquent. And that's more enlivening than a robot voice. So I put my vote on Worster.
Same here.
But then again, James, let me say this. I have not told Worster, I haven't talked to him in over a year, I haven't told him about Ion. I don't want to bring that into his world because then he might start arguing with me about it. So I'm like moving on to another zone with Ion, but I recognize the greatness of Evergreens and Cosmic Awareness. But it's interesting, they sent me this...
Good fit.
That's right. I'm just saying...
Sometimes it's better left than...
Beg your pardon?
Sometimes it's better left than said, depending on who you're talking to.
That's the point. That's what we call figure ground, or ratios. The Thomas Aquinas about ratios. To make a formula about what is right to say to who, that'll catch you in the ass. So you have to have not a formula, but occasionally use the formula.
Hmm. And that's the brilliance of Ion, really, because
yeah,
he plays with everyone. That's the wondrous thing about it.
And it, yeah, and during a private reading, ooh, that's a different experience than
yeah, absolutely.
We're dealing with general memes and concepts here, you know, in public, which is great. I mean, we do have that part of our mass consciousness. It's fun. It's great entertainment, as Pam would say, you know, amazing entertainment. But it isn't the whole story. Go ahead.
Bob, when you say memes,
A meme is a term coined by Richard Dawkins in a book called The Selfish Gene in 1976. And you have genes which determine our physical characteristics. We came up with an idea of cultural characteristics, more like ideas, move through a culture and remain dominant, and he called them memes as opposed to genes.
Spelled the same way, but with an M?
Say it again?
It's M-E-M-E-S?
Yeah, M-E-M-E is meme, and plural is M-E-M-E-S.
M-E-S.
You know, you could say me, and then you get two me's, you got a crowd. So me-me. Meme creates an idea between two people on the beginning of mass consciousness. An overlapping between universes. On the idea level.
That's a fairly crucial point.
Yeah. So the, you know, like, the thing is that was incredible, if Barbara's still there, what she got told. I mean,
yeah.
That's shocking. That's shocking what Ion said. And to me, I'm not sure if they, you see, Michael Jackson, on June 25th, before I knew Jackson had died, supposedly died, Ion said in the course of a conversation that Michael Jackson, you will see, has supposedly transitioned. But we're here to tell you, Bob, this is on June 25th, he has not come into the non-physical. He is not in the guff. So where is he, Bob? So then that started a bunch of questioning, and then we got a whole bunch of stuff on that. So here's Michael Jackson. He can go to other parallel worlds and come back, and he lives in India now, and he watched his funeral, you know, at his mother's place, and all this stuff. So here, but then he learned that from Elvis, and Elvis dropped off a corpse. I tried to get it today, whether it's a doubles course, but then there's a many doubles. It actually,
a double.
Any question we ask Ion will blow up into complexity and not silliness, but into amazingness. But the more you can handle it, the more you're seeing it, what it is.
Absolutely.
So
the reason I asked about,
I just wanted to say, so for Barbara, when he says that, you know, that there were some corpses found, no corpses found, we have to find out if there were any corpses. Because in Elvis' case, there was a corpse, even though Elvis didn't die. He went just to a parallel world. At home, as Ion says. So it's really complex. But we don't have... How much do we want to be concerned about the complexity? But we as humans will look for more complexity. That's the way our minds work, right?
Yeah, but Ion's point tonight was it's in the simplicity, not the complexity.
Well, that's the eternal religious truth. That's the reminder... But humans do not want that completely. They want more.
No, of course, and always will.
Yeah. So, yeah, Michael, what would you say?
I was saying that's why I brought up Jesse James, because supposedly Jesse James placed another body there that he was supposedly murdered, right? He got shot down.
Yeah.
And then he died. He was a senator of, I think, Vegas or something, or whatever state that is, Nevada. And change his name to Clark. That's what you constantly hear that on. I think it's Republic Broadcasting.
Is that
advertiser
right?
To that book.
And Ion agrees.
So, that's what.
Yeah, no, I didn't know about that, about Jesse. But you're saying that. So Ion agrees that he didn't die when people thought he died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now the question.
David would play. Yeah. Open hand.
Yeah, and I think he said Jesse James is still around. But then your question is about. You know, you come in with your naive chemical body and say, there's a Jesse James, he's supposed to have died, did he die? And then you find out, well, there's 400 Jesse James and all that. You see, Ion kind of expands our minds into a dumbness or a wonderment by shattering things more than anybody has done before, I think, in the, quote, medium world.
Well, I guess I should say the legendary Jesse James from this world.
Right, but you can't even. Ion would go, oh, this world, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's almost like you get with me. I'll come up with a question, and now I know the range of what Ion will say, and then I collapse the question. I say, oh yeah, that's. I can figure out an answer which becomes a not knowing or irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and the dynamic tonight where you had the three bobs.
Yeah. Well, that might have been a carryover from last night. I had an incredible reading with Ion personally last night, where I don't know how you describe it. We really started confusing each other. I don't know how else to say it. It gets pretty hilarious. It's really fun, but I think I was still in that state of mind when I started the show today.
Yeah, I can tell.
That gives me pretty much with your wording and being on a critical thinker before you even ask the question.
Okay, I didn't hear those words. Can you say them, James?
I was saying it seems like you have to use a lot of critical thinking and be very precise with your wording,
the
answer that you're thinking.
Yeah, no, Ion had described, like, if I'm listening to someone, I need to follow it all the way through, and if they say something that doesn't connect to what they did say, I will stop and ask them what that is. And I've done that with Ion, you know, many hours. So, yes, whereas Ion says that Carolyn does it differently. She gets engaged and forms a picture, but I got to go step by step, something like that. But I agree with you. I do require a little precision, even though I'm all the time knowing now you can't have precision.
No, but I mean, Ion requires precision and preciseness.
Good point. He does.
Because you can go off.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because you can go off on all kinds of tangents if you're not.
Yeah, I think it's more a clarity rather than a precision. It's
yeah,
would probably the same thing.
Yeah, when I first started to understand more about what Ion was and came from, I thought, okay, I have a friend have a reading. Does Ion can see 400 versions of Susan, say, which, how does he know which one he's asking, you know, which one is he addressing when that person were taping a session? And that was an early question. I haven't gone back on that, but either Ion does know or it could get confused. I mean, we've had bizarre situations where a person had a private reading and didn't want to know where their girlfriend was. And then Ion told them the address in Oklahoma, you know, an old girlfriend. And then my friend found out that the girlfriend was dead 3 years ago. So Ion, the person said, well, what the hell, what are you talking about? You said she was in Oklahoma. No, that's her other self. Her other self was Oklahoma. And that caused a lot of consternation for my friend. You know, that just was way beyond his framework of thinking. And but that's what I'm getting used to handling those ideas.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now, I don't go around telling my neighbors this. Yeah, let's say my neighbor died, and the wife comes over, oh, we're having a funeral on Thursday. I said, well, I'm not going to that one. I'll go to the other guy when he dies in about 5 years.
I don't go to funerals.
What'd you say?
I don't go to funerals. I just
say,
sorry, I don't
use that. Okay, this is Angela, right? Angela has her own universe. Angela really hypes up her own universe. Now, Angela, I don't know.
I understand her.
Yeah, we can't understand you, Angela.
I can.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I can hear perfectly.
Translator.
That's amazing.
Translator.
Wait. Okay, she says she doesn't go to funerals.
Oh, she liked that idea. No, me either.
Yeah, because if someone says to me, oh, someone died, I'd be like, all right. And I obviously don't go into it. And then it's like, you come to the funeral, I say, sorry, I don't go to the funeral.
I think I pretty well understood that.
No, be polite, like.
So, Sheila, you can understand that, right?
You don't have to say Sheila, yeah, perfectly.
And James can. So what, I got a bit of what you're saying, but could you say it? Repeat it?
No, like, if someone says you go into the funeral, like, I just say I don't believe in funerals.
Oh, I understood that.
So I don't go into it, like.
Right, you don't go into it. Yeah, so you're, yeah, I don't go into it either.
No, unless they're famous. No, it's not, it's like, you don't insult people's beliefs.
Right. Right, I agree.
You know, that's unusual for in Ireland. It's normal. Yeah. I mean, you get a funeral all the time.
Oh no, not
I'm not you, but I mean everyone else does.
People do.
I don't go to Christmas either. Sir. It's funny. I'm weddings. I tell you, that's so far.
Plenty of drinking. Yeah. It's fine.
What are you laughing at, Dave? What
Gary?
Well, she said weddings. They're a lot tougher.
They're tougher to go to.
Yeah.
Because they're going into chains. They're going into bondage. Like.
Not necessarily. They may experience bondage in 8 years, but for the first 5 years, it might be okay.
Yeah, name me two people that are happy in my life.
Bob and
Carolyn.
Yeah, everybody agrees that Bob and Carolyn.
Oh, yeah, you probably have a very open experience with people.
Right. But a lot of single people, they may not have the same kind of unhappiness, but they got another kind of unhappiness. They want to connect to somebody and they can't get to somebody.
John, you're totally right.
What'd you say?
True. Just close your eyes.
No, but yeah, I got my eyes closed. So what did she say? It's all great? Is that what she said?
She said, no.
Just
go, Angela.
You just close your eyes, you know?
She's telling me to close my eyes.
Connect. Yeah, you can connect with anyone. Just close your eyes.
Oh, okay. So the, now what's interesting...
And that's dead.
Now, you know, this dilemma about being single or married, it sounds like from Ion that the young kids are coming in so much into their own universe. They'll even be autistic on purpose just to establish, you know, solidify it. Maybe people are can handle now being single. And they don't have the anxieties that they would show in movies 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's the generation that changed.
When everyone was children in the playground, like, you had your boyfriend or whatever, but you didn't, like, put chains around each other. You know what I mean? You're allowed to run off, like, playing with other people.
Yeah, have freedom.
Okay, can you tell me
whereas, like,
what she said, James?
Well, she
said...
I'm sorry.
I like to know what she's saying. I'm sorry it's tedious, but what did she say, James?
She's loud and clear. Angela, have another go, and Bob, listen closely.
I'm after forgetting what I was saying. Oh, yeah, when you're a child in the playground, think back when you were a child in the playground, and you had your boyfriend or whatever. No, your dad that you didn't even kiss, but he was your boyfriend kind of thing. And, like, you didn't, like, stay there and, like, you know, chain yourself to him. You used to go up and run around and play with all other people and talk to their boys, and you wouldn't get jealous.
Now, when did this happen?
When you were a child in the playground.
When you were a kid, you mean?
When you were a kid.
Oh, okay. James, translate what she's saying.
Well, exactly what you heard. When you're a child, you don't have the constraints of maybe an adult-type relationship.
Right.
Where you have to...
No, when I was, I think, in my 20s, I used to tell all the children, stay away from adults because there's something wrong with them.
Did you hear that, Bob?
No. Me and Mazel, you guys enjoy Angela. I'm not going to... I'll just slow it up. I don't know what she's saying.
Oh, you got to tune in.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
No, I'm only joking.
No, it's fine.
James, you can make...
Well, where are you from?
Me? I was born in Paris, France in 1922. Of an Anglo...
22?
Yeah, 22. Anglo-Franco family.
Hey, gosh.
Of course. Son of a butler.
Yep.
Have you been back there?
I haven't been back there lately.
You know Paris well, Bob.
I don't know Paris anymore. I haven't been there in 25 years. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the...
doesn't change.
I grew up right
you like
near...
like graffiti.
I grew up right near the Eiffel Tower.
Did
you? Yeah, the old elite place.
You ever have sex up the Eiffel Tower?
Okay, what did she say, James?
Did you ever have sex, like, up on the Eiffel Tower and, like, climb up the base of it?
Did you ever have sex up on the
Eiffel
Tower? Okay. Not under the Eiffel Tower, as in you climb up the Eiffel Tower a bit.
Okay. Okay, Jane.
They don't let you do that.
Yeah, Jane.
I think. Yeah.
She's addressing me. Tell me what she's saying.
She said, did you ever have sex up on the Eiffel Tower?
No, I've never had sex.
No, no, not. You've never had sex either?
No. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for more.
That's why you're so hungry, Bob.
Yeah, I live for my limitations. I figure if I don't have sex, then that's always something I could have if I need more.
I haven't had sex for 2 years. I'm a born again person.
Now, if you were smart, you'd say, well, wait, Bob, it's like when the kids come to JW, they say, Dad, could you leave? We want to talk to the other guy. Okay?
Bring it on.
No.
So when you ask...
I'm nervous.
Yeah. When you ask me a question...
There's only 2 years now just because you're from today.
I mean, I'd like to know what you're saying so I can respond. You're laughing, so it's probably cool what you're saying, but I just wanted to say, if you were shrewd, you would ask Bob if he had any sex or whatever, and he says no, but then you ask the other Bob.
Bob, where is he? Where's with Bob 2?
Yeah, Bob 2, I fucked Eiffel's daughter.
That's more like it.
Yeah.
Wow. A bit long in the tooth.
And she got pregnant, and he wanted me to get married. I said, fuck you, and my thugs went and beat the shit out of him.
What was the baby called? We killed it. We threw it off the top of Eiffel Tower. You did not.
Yeah, I could get away with it. If you knew my background, I've killed and murdered and maimed so many people because I was protected by the Secret Council of Ten. I was part of what you call the Illuminati. Right there on the radio. James is listening. Right. Nobody believes it. Because no one believes it, I can tell the truth.
Exactly.
I set up Kennedy's assassination. JFK?
I know. And did you do the Robert?
What?
Did you do Robert Kennedy as well?
No, we didn't do Robert Kennedy. Spin-offs from my gang did that. You see, I worked in the solar government, and the world government had its own little issues, mainly known as the Mafia, like Carlos Marcello. That's the world government. We were above the world government. We were solar government.
Is yours the Anglo-Saxon?
I fucked St. Germain's daughter on his couch.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I like that. Oh, man. Okay, want to bring in Bob 3? Let's bring in Bob 3.
Yeah, what's he got to say?
Yeah, do.
So, did I have sex in the Eiffel Tower? No. I know you can't. It's against the law. I did date people and go up on Eiffel Tower, you know, do the romance thing up there, but didn't have any sex with them.
This is more like a Bob 3.
You said very diplomatic.
I say that. What did she say, James?
I said you sound very rosmatic.
Automatic?
Romantic.
Oh yeah, Bob 3 is very romantic. He's the one that.
Oh yeah.
He's the one that.
He's a charmer.
Carol likes Bob 3.
Yeah. And you did Bob 1, 2, and 3 today on cash flow.
That's right. And you know I didn't know that would happen.
It did. Yeah. It created a whole new dynamic.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just.
Mary, did you ever?
Okay. Go ahead.
Did you ever? You know the way. Apparently, you know this is only rumor in Ireland, right? But you know the orange marsh in the north, up in Stormont.
Okay, James.
Is that where the original Freemasons?
The orange march in the north.
Yes, I know that. Yeah.
You know the Stormont. Stormont.
Stormont,
like,
you gotta translate, James. I don't know what
you're
saying.
Stormont, sorry. So Stormont, basically the original lodges of Freemasonry. Is that true that like, they come from Ireland and England when they were like together? The original Freemasons.
No. The Freemasons come from 1600, and they spin off from the Knights Templars. So the Freemason is a European phenomenon, and it happens with the Freemasons come in with the printing press. The Knights Templars are part of manuscript culture. And then the newspaper brings in the Bolsheviks, radio brings in the Nazis, and the television brings in the Mossad. Then the android meme, in a post-information society, the android meme takes over those five rule. What did I say? The Catholic Church, or you could say the Knights Templars, Freemasons, Bolsheviks, Nazis, and Mossad. That's the that is the intelligence battle within the android meme. All of those human factions are superseded by the android meme process itself. And the only anti-environment to the android meme, for me, is ION.
This is good, Bob.
What?
This is good, Bob. I said this is good.
Yeah, I'll rest with that. Think about it. You look at,
yeah.
You know, the Knights Templars are the manuscript culture before the printing press. The British create the Protestant Revolution with the printing press, and they create their own secret society known as the Rosicrucians, the Royal Society, the Freemasons, right? That's where, you can. So that's a product of the printing press, and they fight against the old manuscript elite, the Knights Templars. Then in the 19th century, when you have the newspaper, which goes all around the world and creates collective national vernaculars, the emotion of multitude caused by the telegraph press leads to the International Socialists, or the Socialist International, Karl Marx and all that. That's the working man forming his own political thing, which was hijacked by the Bolsheviks. Then comes in radio, and the decentralization caused by radio allows the Nazis or the fascists to take over in the 30s. It collapses by the end of World War II. Then television comes in, and what was the glorious image in television in the 50s? The fact that Israel made a paradise out of the desert. And the Mossad, that's Golda Meir period. It's a good image for Israel. It fits with the collective effect of television. So the image of the kibbutz and its sort of communist, socialist, communitarian image fits with the effect of television, which is the opposite of the effect of radio. Then they all get all mixed up in the 70s. So, I will end my case there.
That's all the acid.
What'd she say? What'd she say,
James? I didn't hear that.
The acid.
What'd she say, James?
I didn't hear it. Angela, go again.
The acid.
Oh, the acid?
Oh, the acid.
LSD.
Yeah.
No, it was ABBA.
No.
Did someone say ABBA?
Yeah,
she was.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, ABBA confused everybody in the 70s.
That was the Swedish people.
Yeah. But that's the android meme. That's disco. That's the Reagan era. That's the information virtual reality. Not a lot. No information at any dominance once you get into the 80s. It's the process of doing research and getting information, which is the seduction. And nobody gets to the cancer cure. Nobody gets to that cure or this cure. Because the answer is the endless searching. It employed a lot of people. That collapsed last year with the death of the chip landscape, which was the death of the virtual economy. Now we're in a whole mystery landscape. And that is where ION comes in, perfectly resonant with it.
And remember, Bob, you said we don't want meaning. We want participation.
Yes. And we can disconnect so much because you got four bodies. You can, like Sheila can engage from Paris with all this stuff, and her chemical body friends will never know anything about it unless she tells them. You know, so you can have what you call schizophrenic lives. You have a whole different life on in the media, which started 20 years ago with avatars, and then you have your chemical body. That's all getting mixed up and confused now. People don't know.
I did a lot of work the last moment on Alzheimer's, dementia, and all of that stuff. So it's all getting ironed out.
I heard Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's, dementia, and all of that. There's a lot of work going on at the moment. But not through ORSA, through integration health.
Well, I understand a lot on that. You know, Alzheimer's is people really getting into relaxing and allowing.
Yes. Everyone, you can have Alzheimer's in your 4.
Yeah. But that's the chemical body 4.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Who was the father of Freemasonry? Who came up with the idea?
Freemasonry? Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Henry VIII. Henry VIII tried to build a church on a divorce, that's not spiritual enough for people. It's just ridiculous. So they had to create the concept of the New Jerusalem and the New Israel, which is Francis Bacon's book on the New Atlantis. That whole Israel thing was planted in the King James Bible so it could be activated by the Balfour Declaration in 1917. Now, that kind of oligarchical planning was possible under print industrial conditions. It's not possible now. You cannot have an Illuminati.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know they're gone. They're being blown up. I might be open. But Henry VIII was doing his thing, right, with all the women and all that? What was going on in Ireland then? Because I think there was a whole thing under wraps there if you don't know about.
I'd like to engage with you, Angela, but I can't make it out. So let's hold that.
Okay.
Type out these questions, send them to me, and we can ask Ion. Type them out. Make a coherent sentence. I saw you did post something, sent a message, but it was overlaid. It was metaphorical or something. It was like poetry. Make it a sentence with a noun, a verb, a clause, so that we can get into this. I'm assuming you're serious and we'll see all the answers.
Okay.
She's talking good old-fashioned Irish, Bob. It's fun.
Finny's awake, but the point is she's not in Ireland right now. Right now, you're not in Ireland. You're in virtual space.
I have issues. I don't know how to transfer.
Yeah, you're fine, Angela. It's okay. Maybe it's just a bad connection.
No, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's really bad by my end. I mean, you guys aren't perfect, and then she's really far away to me.
Yeah, that's probably the issue, because we're all good here on Skype.
Oh, really? I wish I was getting it as good as you guys.
Yeah, you got to figure out how to record from Skype, or figure out how to teleconference. Much better.
Yeah, the problem for teleconference is some people won't be able to do it, right? Because...
Well, it's going to cost them. It's going to cost them money.
So that's the drag. It seems these Skype shows, I still don't have an intellectual understanding of how you're hooking me up and why things happen, but maybe we just keep doing it. So I apologize for the opening confusion for 20 minutes.
It was fun.
I'll have to delete that from the tailgate audio, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But the,
oh, yeah, definitely. I wouldn't be putting that.
What'd she say, Jane?
Can you hear me now?
She said, yeah, definitely won't be putting that up.
Yeah, Ion
was playing music.
Yeah, Ion was playing music. It was fun.
Right. Yeah,
Lady Gaga or whatever.
Yeah, I have to keep that going. But the point is that it seems these Skype things, after we work out the bugs in the first 20 minutes, so then it works out pretty good,
Yeah, what happens is we had about 14, 15 people, and it seems 10 people is a sweet spot for this Skype.
Oh, and they get knocked off. So,
yeah.
So maybe... I'm going to have to talk to JW about this, about maybe we could do maybe telephone conferences every other week so that those that can't get the phone call, it's too expensive, they can join in the Skype week, but they can hear the archives.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
There's many people just listening here. They're not saying much. You don't have to be live to enjoy what happens. Or you can email.
Exactly.
Well, Steve, he on the chat sent a few questions that way, and I was able to put them in.
Yeah. And it's fairly easy to download Skype, and if you don't have a mic, you can still listen in, so that's fine.
Right. So I think I'd like to end soon. Is there anything else anybody want to talk about?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm ready for that.
Tired.
That was
great.
That was an incredible show. I even have to maybe listen to it again.
Might have to, Bob. It's good stuff. And it's only getting better. You keep saying.
Can you imagine somebody who doesn't just goes into Achieve Radio today and just happened to tune in? What the heck would they think was going on?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be able to tune in because their energy wouldn't send them there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
They wouldn't find it.
Mm-hmm. You only get a link. No. You can only come into certain domains with certain links or certain codes. That's the way it's set up. It's all firewalled.
Yeah, one final thought. McLuhan said the image of God as a Newtonian clockmaker that leaves the universe came in with the printing press. The electric age would come in with the image of God as a radio. Now, that's the idea of tuning frequency, but it's very interesting that Ion says that the frequency tuning metaphor is not accurate. That's really important. But, you know, I'm thinking about, as you say, I think Angela was saying you wouldn't find her show unless you were on the frequency, right? Is that what Angela was saying?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like firewood.
Yeah, that's a handy way to look at it, but let's acknowledge that Ion saying that our image of non-physical or of reality is not served either by the clockmaker God printed book metaphor or the electric radio metaphor. See? It's something different.
Yeah,
that's important to figure out.
Only yesterday on our French news, they were saying that basically the rotation of the Earth, the length of time it takes for the planet to rotate, has actually changed, which is showing that time is not an accurate measurement anymore.
So James, I got some of that French news. Just tell me what she said.
Basically, that the planet's taking to rotate is not consistent, so they're figuring that time is not.
Well, that's the earthquake effect in Chile, right?
Probably, yeah. I'm not too sure. I thought so, but it's different, Angela.
No, this is in general.
Right. In general, it's just.
Well, that's why
it's just time is cracking.
Time is cracking.
Yeah, in six months ago. Maybe last summer, Ion started inventorying all the things that we would register that's going to happen due to the thinning of veil, and this very thing you're talking about, Ion talked about 8 months ago. That's what's incredible. Like, Ion did a lot of stuff with us to put on the record, and then didn't want it out in public because Ion didn't want to be seen energizing these negative things, or whatever they could be perceived as. You know what I mean? I don't know when they'll be released, but it's pretty interesting, and there's a lot of other incredible predictions that Ion's laid out about what's going to happen in different sciences. So I'm always getting emails from Ion, not JW, Ion, pointing out news stories that resonate with what he predicted, 8 months ago. Ion is on a big ego trip. He wants to prove that he's right.
He's like Zappa
who made this incredible one whole composition, all his albums all intertwined like Finney's Wake. Ion is like that. This is a very artistic, aesthetic, communication, symbolic unity, but all the time, like Zappa, allowing improvisation within it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, the radio shows are improvisation, but you will find the themes are there, and then we have to make complex, CDs to enhance the simple themes.
Yeah.
Like we did over an hour on the word relax, and then we did another hour on the word allow.
If you don't understand, then an hour's worth.
Yeah, relax a lot. It's like every platitude Ion says is a whole world, and he waits for us to ask and jump into it. And so it's not just, it's simplex. Simplex.
Simplex. Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah.
So yes, it is a brilliant manifestation, and I'm happy to be identified with it.
And maybe Bob 1 or 2 might be on an ego trip.
Bob 2 will. He's going to demand an Oscar. He's going to kill a few people if he doesn't get an Oscar for this.
I think so.
Yeah. And when Bob 2 gets the Oscar, he's going to say, "I'm glad the Academy was not political in its decision."
The Academy is a gunfight then.
Beg your pardon?
The Academy will be gone by then.
It'll all be self-referential. We'll give an Oscar to ourselves.
Human traffickers. The galaxy human traffickers are gone. They've been expelled.
What'd she say, James?
The galaxy of human traffickers have been expelled.
Right. We need to get Angela and Chad in the same room.
Yeah, we do, don't we? We do. We've got to get that, haven't we?
We get them into the room. We put the oscillographs and the instruments on them and watch them parallel world all over the place.
Give them a camera.
I swear.
And then we'll put them on acid and then see what happens.
Yeah. Hey, Chad's silence was interesting tonight. any other good questions. That was all.
Say that again, James.
Chad's silence, well, like my silence, you know, it's just sort of...
Yeah, you guys have gone into the silence strategy.
Yeah, yeah. It's just feeling so good, I don't want to fuck it up.
Well, you're enjoying Bob get beat up.
Yeah, that too. That's fun. I love that.
You brought it on.
Yeah, exactly.
What'd you say, James?
Totally.
You brought it on yourself.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing it for, you know, almost a year. Hey, look, we got... Next week will be the day, March 17th. That's the day J.W. was telling me. The anniversary, St. Patrick's Day. How's that, Angela? You Irish guys can claim some kind of sovereignty over Ireland because it happened on March 17th. He's telling me about seeing dead people and Dr. Beter coming to him. I said, you know, this could be the Evergreens. Let's tomorrow, we'll see if we can talk to them. And on March 18th... I was thinking about that metaphor of the telephone lighting up as I approached it, and I was going to phone you. You know, I said, that's what I thought Ion was. The resonance between me, Carolyn, and JW, this light burst in the middle of us.
And what did Ion say? Did he agree?
I brought it up during the show, right? I don't remember what he said.
Yeah, the current.
I think he agreed. He goes, yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course, Bob.
Did,
what
yeah.
You're just getting that nap, Bob?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he said something like that. No doubt.
the it's an ongoing jiving. It's you know what? The interaction between me and Carolyn and Ion is like the picture on the Sistine Chapel. You know, where the two hands reach out and they can't touch.
Yeah,
there's the tactile people.
The fingers are touching almost.
Like last night.
You said we're doing that, mate.
Beg your pardon?
We were doing video conference. We were messing
through
the hand thing.
Yeah, that's good. The last night we get into topics and that leads nowhere. Then to another topic leads nowhere. And it's very interesting on the way, but then it becomes undecidable. But what the hell we learned? And I was complaining about this to Ion or just rehearsing it, and we got really laughing about how, Ion. There's no more questions. Got no more questions. It's over. And there's a pause, and Ion goes, okay. And then someone, Carolyn or me, will say, okay, we'll keep talking.
Then he laughs for a few seconds.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, keep breathing. Okay, if every death is suicide, you don't really consciously try to do it.
Mike was absent. Like with accident, I had a dream of him dirty other getting walking around on his friend going into the room. No, like not a dream, if they're traveling or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's no death list. I mean, that's just another example of a good tweet.
Yeah. Confirmed, yeah.
Can you... Okay.
You saw Michael Jackson.
You had a dream of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but it was more like...
No, a dream.
A travel.
Experience.
Yeah.
Dream to something.
Yeah, I think he... I think Jackson knows about what we're doing and is communicating with us.
Yeah, right.
He picks the ones that are most open, and like Angela, and goes in there.
Yeah.
I don't hold me to that. Don't hold me to that. That could be not true.
Sounds fun.
No, she did.
The thing is, to me, the interaction with Ion is exactly the Socratic dialogue. You know, you go back and forth. There's a chicken egg, and it's an ongoing thing. And it's like, who's on first, the famous comedic thing? That's what it is. Who's on first? That's a good question. Who's on first? Who showed up first?
Yeah.
I always say, nobody did. There's no beginning.
That's true.
Well, then how do we get the situation where we think there's a beginning because we create a matter that makes us think there's time? You did that, Bob.
Me?
You, Bob, did that. Oh, you mean in my universe. Yeah. Well, no, everybody. No. Well, everybody is your universe, Bob. Well, what about the other people? Like, what about Carolyn over there? What? Actually, that was pretty good. I could actually do an imitation of a reading. I just did that. And this goes on 24/7 with this fucking eye on.
Did you ever take a break, Bob?
No, I do. I go to the beach. That's the real break.
Oh, you go to the beach?
Yeah, of course. You
take it's great. I plunge into the physical ocean after talking to the non-physical ocean of Ion.
Yeah. And it's like starting again.
Yeah, I start again. I go back. I off myself. I dive into the big waves, try to die, and then I get out. Like, here's the blunder. Ion told me that I talked to McLuhan, the soul ghost of McLuhan, not a ghost, but soul, residue, and occasionally I talked to, through Ion, the non-physical McLuhan. Now, figure that one out.
Yeah, right, that's weird.
You have to realize, people, that we're hearing stuff, like Ion says, that it's never been presented before.
Brand new.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, you know, I can't wait till the Dalai Lama shows up and says, you know, we're having a little problem finding the next Dalai Lama because Chip Body's scrambling the astral plane, and you ain't helping much either, Ion. So could you help us find the new guy? Now, Ion would say, oh, the new guy? Is it always the same guy? It's always the same guy. And then Dalai Lama would go, okay, yeah, you know that? Yes, we know that. We know there's only one guy. And why do you want to do it? Why do you want to continue it? Okay, you complete it. You tell me. I mean, you, James. What would be the answer? What would Ion says, why do you want to find another one? What would the Dalai Lama say to that? He goes, look, I got a job. I'd be out of a job if we didn't have the Tibetan culture preserved.
Exactly, yeah.
And Ion would say, well, you started it all. It all started. You created the Shangri-La. That'll never die. You don't need to preserve it. Relax. Step, what is it? Get off the gas. What's that phrase? Get your gas off the pedal. Pedal off the gas.
Yeah.
Relax. There's no way that Tibetan culture's ever going to disappear. China, try as they might. The Chinese try to blow you off the universe. It's not going to work. So you don't have to be a Dalai Lama anymore, Mr. Dalai Lama. You need to talk to Bob Dalai Lama. You ought to look into his five bodies. Why don't you sign up to his website? Listen to the interview with Dave Wurster. Actually, Dave Wurster had sex with your brother, which is true.
Yeah, listen here, Bob. You better calm down.
I better calm down? This is Bob Ford coming through. Bob, the playwright.
I love Bob Ford.
I sent you over a lady there, Bob's number,
What was that, Rachel?
I sent him over a lady.
A line of ladies coming your way, courtesy of Angela.
A lot of what?
A line of ladies.
A writings.
Right.
Are you saying writings?
A line of ladies.
Line.
Spell the word. A line of what?
Ladies.
No, don't. James speak.
Sorry.
Yeah. A line of writings, right?
Ladies.
Oh, ladies!
Well,
look, I'm looking at my window. There's 15 out there.
This is Tokyo, right?
Yeah, Karen, I can't be outside taking down the names of the 15 that are out there. And that's just people in Maui. I am a sex god. There's no getting around that. Send all your ladies over here. No problem.
A line of them.
Send a line of them. And make sure they're alphabetically in order.
Yeah. One bit.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. I think I'll need some sleep tonight.
Too much paradise. Too much ecstasy. Too much.
Oh, man. It's too much good.
It's called super ecstasy.
That's right. I agree. Well, you hear me laughing through the whole show. That's the laughing of ecstasy, sort of, or something.
Sure is.
No, I'm impressed. I was impressed with Ion today. He just kept going complexly, all kinds of things. Like, he almost did many more mini rants than ever before, right?
I think so. Just for you, Bob, because you're one of them.
Yeah, I got all. I'll say it this way. I nailed him last night. He knew that I whooped him. So he says, I got to up the ante. I got to outperform my So I got to really. So it's an ongoing battle between Bob and Ion. That's the real agenda here, right? Look at me. I got rid of him. I'm here ranting away on the tailgate party for an extra hour with Ion not here. I'm hogging the microphone.
Oh, man.
And if you notice that, it's funny when Bob, too, came in the middle of the show today, he says, I created this! Anybody listening, like, paranoid, thunder-feeding.
all of a sudden, I created this guy, and you guys have to realize it's the best thing that ever happened in history, okay? And then I shut up, and everybody's quiet, and Carol takes over the quest, and everybody... It's like a crowd, and somebody runs up and grabs the microphone and screams, I funded this operation, it's my money!
It's awesome.
Go to dotstown.com and listen to the Dave Worster. That will relate to the barber and the whole thing that's been happening. Dotstown.com. Yeah, dobbstown.com. And you look in the middle column, it says wiretaps, and you go down the list of names, and you'll find David Worster, W-O-R-C-E-S-T-R. It's a very interesting interview. And you know what's great about Ion?
Yeah.
He knows about these guys. I mean, I had him in my history, but Ion started to bring him up in our early conversations. Of course, he was getting it from
really.
Me. He was getting it from me.
Yeah.
But he would talk intelligently and knowingly about them. But I guess it's because he just would play back what he knew, what he got from me. So in that sense, Ion is just us talking to ourselves because it's just reading what you already
knew. It's the mirror. It's the mirror. Yep.
What was that syllable? What'd you say? Instant mirror? What'd you say?
No, it's a mirror.
Yeah, it's a mirror echo. And he said more than that. When Steve asked Mirak, he said more, right? More.
Yeah,
a refraction.
No, it's a refraction, yeah.
Note how Ion uses coefficients and sine waves and cosine waves and angles. You know, he's got the basic mathematics down, which is probably what all the civilizations work with. They do perturbations and difference, but... when you listen to the relaxed tape, it's all about the statement, if I remember, elliptical partial differential equations. That's what we analyzed in the first hour. Those four words explain relax. Now, isn't that amazing? You guys have no clue how that would be until you listen to it. Elliptical partial differential. But, okay, what's the definition of relax, Ion? Elliptical partial differential equations.
Hey, Bob, talking about math. Bob, talking about math.
Yeah.
Way maker. Have you ever looked up Mark Rodin and Borchex according to mathematics? The Rodin coil.
Yes, someone sent me that website a couple of years ago. It's a website, right?
I can type it in. So you know, it may be. But he has an audio or a video online about 3 hours and 45 minutes, I think. Just talking about numbers and 1 through 9 and how they interrelate in a coil that produces free energy and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, Ion has done some stuff on the roots of numbers. So, yeah, I'd be interested in that. But I think someone said it to him, but I didn't look at it.
I'll send you the link.
Yeah, what did I use?
I'm going past numbers. Now I'm into color. Color is numbers, and if your eye is trained in color, it's like it's not easier. Once you've mathematics to teach, you go into
James.
Eye is trained in color.
James, Angela's related color to number, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
See, that is
once you've mastered numbers.
No, I got that.
Once you've mastered numbers, you go into color, and your eye becomes trained to color. And then from there, then, you can read mathematics to color.
Right. No, that's very interesting because James Joyce and the Theosophists and around W.B. Yeats, they took the symbolist doctrine of number and color correspondence. And that is a sub-map in Finnegan's Wake. It's not the whole map. So it's funny coming from Irish Angela. Irish background to that.
And then the really cool thing, which is like a couple of levels different stuff, is basically eye recognition and gene activation, DNA gene activation through color.
Right.
And it's really, really cool.
Wow.
So we would take that idea. So, you know, Michael sent me the Rodin Vortex stuff. I just read it to Ion, and then you get the incredible exegesis or elaboration of it by Ion. So in that sense,
you get a lot on this one. Go listen to half an hour of it. It's pretty quite impressive.
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing is that I wanted to say that I don't think anymore. I let Ion do my thinking
But I don't. I'm not a robot. I still think, you know, Bob 1234 can show up. But it's like if I.
Is that working out for you, Bob?
Well, look it. I run the world.
Is that working out for you, Bob?
Yes, I run the world. I'm doing it from paradise, and all the world's coming and agreeing with me. So it's definitely working out for me. There's no question there. No, but I just wanted to say that I still look for more in the successful paradise I have, and that's what all of consciousness does. And I'm saying that the way I do more is I have people send stuff, and I'll run it by ION, and I do get a lot of interesting thinkings from watching ION think about what I present them. See? So it's a meta level of thinking.
Interesting.
Usually it puts me into a pretty good experience like you guys are having now, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
A wise woman said that the moment you think you know someone, sorry, the moment you think you know something, that's the end of your learning. So you should just say you know nothing.
That's right. That's one of the main platitudes of ION. People stop.
Yeah.
And ION's saying, don't stop. Don't get upset that you think you have to. Like suicide is trying to stop yourself. You think you're going to get somewhere else better. No, you can have the stop sensation while still living.
Yeah.
So who's still listening? Who's still here?
Angela, Barbara, Pam, and Michael.
And so Sheila and Pam are gone.
No, I'm here.
But Pam's here.
And Sheila's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing is, Barbara, wasn't this pretty neat? I mean, you heard the cosmic awareness, but what do you think of this?
I totally resonate all this material with ION. I didn't resonate with the cosmic awareness ION. I mean, will stuff. And I haven't read or listened to a lot of that stuff. I just heard. I read something about the earthquakes and that didn't make it sound true to me. And ION. Anyway, ION resonates much more than cosmic awareness.
Yeah.
I've been listening to ION on the James Martin show for the last 2 months.
Oh, great. So I will go and check out, I don't know if she puts it up very quickly, but I want to listen to Will on Rayland at some point. That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, Angela, since you're into colors and numbers, he talks about colors. With those numbers, you might check that website out that I put on there.
Oh, yeah, cool. Thanks, Linda.
Bob, I also sent you Abel Danger. Have you listened to any of the audio from David Hawkins? Of course, that's his name, I think.
No, I just got it last night. I haven't had a chance to do anything. You know,
Abel Danger?
Yeah, I got the Abel Danger website. I have it listed. I haven't listened to it.
You'll have tons of questions, believe me.
Right. The you have to remember, Michael, I started the wacky stuff 25 years ago on the radio. I mean,
that hasn't stopped.
No, that's right. But I'm just saying that to be stimulated, I find that ION stimulates with a clearer. Like, you know, there's Nassim. I went to the information farm and list all these people, Nassim, Haramim, and Dan Winter. I touch on those people. They end up being rabbit holes. It's interesting if I got the time, but there's a different level coming with ION. So it's autobiographical to say that I'm in a post-information environment.
Yeah.
See, I think it applies to everybody.
Yeah,
And it's hard to be inspired if it's not ION, if it's not ionic.
Yeah,
right. I can look at other, like I'll look at the vortex or whatever Michael was talking about, and I'll look at it and I'll say, okay, there's glimmerings, and yet I'm glad I know about ION because ION adds a level of thickness to their glimmering.
Honestly, it's like you show your true colors to...
What was that?
It's his music. That was Michael. Something coming through there.
Oh, Michael's playing something.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. There it is on the Skype thing. Yeah, but I have that. So the thing is, I'm just saying that I don't want to be a dupe of Ion, but I've done a lot of other stuff, and I used to broadcast it. When X-Files came on in the 90s, people used to say, Bob, they're doing your radio show, you know, when I did it 7 years ago. And you could hear it's pretty, I mean, I used to talk Cosmic Prince stuff on there, and Evergreens, used to play the Evergreens. So you got to be pretty far out to get me interested, and reality finally did it with Ion. It produced something pretty far out to go past the far outness that was happening in the last 25 years. Right?
Yep.
It's about bringing us all to a place of empowerment.
That's right. And I hope I don't meet you guys in the street. You're so powerful, you know. I'm going to be very humble. Okay, oh, I see. Sheila lost her connection. Okay, so that's it. Very good. Thanks for coming up, Angela. We'll keep trying to figure out what you're saying and stay with us on it.
I'll use my etiquette lessons now.
Yeah,
I remember what I learned.
Okay, so she said, I'll use my blah, 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 blah. What did you say she'll use, James?
She'll use her etiquette lessons.
Etiquette lessons. Yes.
I just forgot about it.
Okay, so the next challenge for you guys is to tune into the Melting Titanium. We had 44,000 people listening last night. According to Ion. And they were laughing their heads off. They said they loved me and Ion going at each other. They were all laughing.
Excellent.
I love the way I told Ion, he started the Melting Titanium with the song, you know, the Lady Gaga thing, Bad Romance. I said, that's so good, do that tomorrow. And so he did it. Did you like that, starting off with music?
Yeah, it's cool.
That may be why he got energized, why he was, you know, we need to do that, get more music at the beginning.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it might have got him going.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Splicing up Ion.
Yeah, we might let Ion. He loves looking for a city. Maybe we'll let him run that for a few minutes or a minute at the beginning.
Get him warmed up.
His favorite songs and just loud. We should always begin with Ion blasting some song for about a minute. That's the Ion entering.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He comes surfing in on a big wave. Okay, well, I'll mention that, Diane.
Yeah. We'll see if we can figure out a teleconferencing thing out, Bob.
Yeah, let's figure that out.
Bob, do you like dragons?
What was that?
Dragons, Bob. You like dragons.
What do I think of dragons, James? Is that what they're asking?
Do you like? Yeah.
Yeah, well, dragons.
You like dragons.
We have a lot on the Chinese and the dragon, and I don't know if this is known publicly, but the image of the dragon in Chinese culture is for America. America is the dragon.
It is America, yeah.
And I live in the best part, one of the best parts of the United States, so I love the dragon.
Yeah,
you have a really good protector who's a dragon.
Say that, James?
You have a really good protector who's a dragon.
Okay. Well, it depends on which culture. Content you'll project on what it means.
He's white. A white dragon.
That's interesting. Well, that sounds like an Irish thing.
The one that mines the earth.
Yeah, what's the name of the weird thing that Robert Anton Wilson found in Ireland? The weird ghost or, you know, phenomenon? Jumping bean man or something? You know? Anyways, that's what I...
Say it again.
Robert Anton Wilson, when he lived in Ireland in the 80s, he encountered the... And I can't remember the name, but it was something that shows up to Irish people. Like a big, like Mr. Doughboy man or something.
All over the place. Oh, I know what you're on about. You're talking about the Fairy Mountain people.
Well, it's the Pooh Man. The Pooba, or the Poogie, or Pooh something. Yeah, maybe that's it, yeah. Okay, that's...
I have to go work with another. I'm going to go work with another medium I haven't unleashed on the world yet.
Bob, get out of it. I can just imagine Secret Laboratory.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Bob.
It took me 40 years to do Ion. It took me 40 years to do Ion.
Yeah.
I'm here forever, so in the next 1,000 years, I should be able to create something pretty impressive.
We'll be here.
And Michael said we'll be here. Good sentiment, Michael.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll all be here.
Indeed. Cheers, Bob.
Okay, cool. Talk to you guys
Bye.
Later.
Yeah, see ya.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Thank you.